Yeah, I'm ready. Let me press the button.
All right. Well, all my buttons are pressed, baby.
Confirm we're going live.
Confirmation. Confirmation. Episode 485 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast is now live on the Hot Mic and Rant EM Radio. If you are listening in podcast form, please take a moment and leave a review on Spotify, on iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher Radio, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Episode 485 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast will cover Backlash,
baby.
The New Japan Cup, MLW, Impact Wrestling, and much more. All next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, episode 485. Oh. Do not make that fucking face, that? Tony, you fucking dick.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com and become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
And it's for the podcast is the Shining Wizards. I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to lay underneath the bed. And when you go to get in the bed tonight, if you're not listening to this podcast, I'll bite your leg.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Ladies and gentlemen, episode 485 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Thank you for joining us on the Hot Mic. Thank you for joining us on Rant DM Radio. Thank you, Kevin, for falling down and hurting yourself. And thanks for downloading us in podcast form, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling. Wow, that was loud. I was loud there. Sorry, boys.
A little bit. Tony.
Matt.
Did you not have my mic muted?
You have to mute your
mic.
You
have to mute your own mic.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. I thought for some reason I thought you had it muted.
No, I can't because
if he mutes you, he can't unmute you. He has to hang up on you because I did it to Kate a couple weeks ago on the Dynamite show. I muted her in the middle of one of her plugs, and then there was no way for me to unmute her unless I hung up on her and had her call back.
Because I was so close to muting it, but I'm like, oh, no, Tony's got it over on his end, and
yeah,
then the world ended.
But the thing is, I'm pulling up the screen to get the logo. I'm trying to queue up like all like the music, the liner, the intro, everything like that.
Oh, I'm not saying you don't have a ton to do. It was just a lapse of judgment on my end where I thought that you had our mics muted during the intro. But hey, guys, I'm Kevin, and I fuck up the podcast.
It's like, this is Kevin Sullivan. Kaboom.
Kaboom.
This is Kevin Sullivan.
So, fellas, what's going on?
I'm feeling good.
Yes.
Living large. New Japan Wrestling is back.
Oh, God, you're like a pig on Christmas.
Oh, I couldn't be more excited. I could not be more excited. If there was a level of excitement above this, I would be in fear for any human being I come in contact with.
You're so happy.
I am happy. We've been fucking crushing it. DDP Yoga. If you're not in our Discord, we're putting out links on Facebook and Twitter daily. The DDP Yoga thing has been awesome. Tony's been like a main sounding board in there. He's like an expert. Fucking the Mott Spock is killing it. Danny and Anthony and Kate and William Mercier Jr. and myself. It's fucking awesome. It's just awesome. And I have taken some hideous pictures of myself, but I'm just committed to this. I'm committed to fucking...
Sexy.
I did not want to do yoga after a 14-hour workday yesterday. But because I got shitty Friday night and I skipped Saturday, I had to do it yesterday. And if it wasn't for this group and my ball-busting wife, I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, first and foremost, dude, Rhiannon's really been kicking your dick in, dude. She's like, she's even talking to me. She's like, hey, did Matt check in yesterday? Is he doing a thing? I'm like, I don't think so. And she's like, all right.
Well, yeah, she likes to bust my balls, so.
Well, maybe you guys could do it together. Get a little, you know, like husband-wife kind of exercise routine going.
I can't do that, no.
I can't either. I mean, I figured you guys probably get along maybe a little better in different ways, but yeah, I can't do it either. My wife's a pain in the ass when it comes to exercising with her. I'm like, yeah, no.
So does DDP have goat yoga? Have you guys heard of that?
Is that goat yoga? No, never heard.
Wait, you never heard of goat yoga?
What, do you fuck a goat while you're holding positions?
No,
I don't get it.
Fucking goats stand on you. It's the fucking dumbest shit in the world. Yeah, make that face. It's a thing.
I don't. Wow.
All
right.
It's for all the fucking.
I've heard of goat yoga.
It's all the fucking broads with their Lululemon pants that want to go do fucking yoga in the park with the goats. And some fucking farmer's like, yeah, if you pay me $150, I'll let this fucking dirty goat stand on your back.
Now, what happens if the goat has to go to the bathroom while on your back?
Then it goes on your back. You also double as a bathroom for the goat.
All right.
These are the same people that want to fucking give birth to their child underwater with the dolphins. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, what's that called? A water birth or something like that?
No, there's some where they give birth in like a tub of water or like a kiddie pool or something like that. But there's other ones.
Right.
And if this is a fucking real thing, I remember from that Penn and Teller show bullshit where you swim with the dolphins and you just give birth in the water as you're swimming around with the dolphins.
Oh, and the dolphins eat the mung?
I would hope so. Doesn't that pollute the environment?
Do you make the noise like the dolphin? Do you make dolphin sounds?
Well, there's some sounds that women make when they're fucking delivering babies, and you don't sound like dolphins.
I don't think they sound like that. If they did, more men would be knocking their wives out.
Yeah.
When your wife gave birth to your child and you were there, if your wife made a sound like Flipper, it would have been much more enjoyable. Versus whatever awful shit she yelled and screamed at you during the birth of your child. 2020, people.
Oh, yeah, baby.
If you are watching on the hot mic, just know that every Patreon subscriber goes to us buying Kevin a Chromebook because he can't do this. This has to stop. This pandemic needs to end immediately. Effective immediately.
Well, in fairness, he does have good beam separation in his on his attic ceiling there, so I'm sure the floor upstairs is nice and level.
Oh, contractor sturdy. Tony in the house.
You could do goat yoga on it.
Let's do some goat yoga, people. Let's not do some goat yoga.
Please don't do goat yoga, please. Terrible idea. Definitely pick up the DDP. It's definitely worth your time. And if you are doing it and you're not on the Discord, all the more reason to join us. We're posting links like every other day because these fucking things expire in like 5 minutes. But if you need an invite, please just hit us up. We'll be happy to send it your way. But like I said, please check Facebook as well. We've been putting them up there at least daily. So get on it. Join us. It's a lot of fun.
Is it as much fun as the greatest intercontinental championship tournament?
Oh, wow.
Who's the one that called it? That's all I have to say.
First, I want to say to all those in Facebook and Twitter land that voted, thank you, especially Facebook. Facebook, like someone stuck a rocket up their ass. I didn't check when it finished up today, but I know at one point there was over 400 votes for this fucking thing.
Yeah, it took off. It took off like crazy.
Some notables in there on the voting on Facebook, too. Danny Doring chimed in. Homicide was in on it. So a lot of big from NWA Power. So a lot of big names there contributing to the Shining Wizards hashtag Wizards IC.
You know what? And for the first day or day and a half, the voting was very close. There were a lot of votes coming in hot and heavy, and it looked like it was going to be like down to the wire. And then all of a sudden, the Macho Man just fucking blasted into outer space, especially on Facebook. Twitter, it was a decent lead, but Facebook just out of the water for Savage. It was pretty crazy how far ahead he was.
Yeah, and to a lot of people's credits, they made great points about why they were voting for which guy. A lot of people on Twitter were like, tell me a good Mr. Perfect IC match where he didn't lose to Brett. And it was kind of a, you know, when you actually think about it, he beat Tito to win the IC title after Warrior vacated it. He had a really nice match against Boss Man at one of the
WrestleMania 7.
WrestleMania, but he lost by DQ. He lost a Beefcake at what, 5?
No, that was a
before
SummerSlam.
Yeah, but that was before he had the IC title.
Right. So there's,
yeah, that's when he just lost his first match.
There's no like man, I can't believe that title defense that Mr. Perfect had. Like,
well, in fairness though, you look at Savage's career. I mean, he had an extended run with George Steele that made like the main events in WrestleMania 2 and whatnot. And then you look at his first match with Steamboat and then the big rematch at WrestleMania 3. And there were a handful of times that he wrestled Santana in rematches. But other than that, it was your run-of-the-mill, you know, around that time jobbers that he was wrestling, you know, at house shows and whatnot. So in comparing Savage and Perfect, there's really not much of a difference in terms of, like, you know, the caliber of talent they were facing. There was a handful of guys that were on that level, and then everybody else was just like your Dusty Wolves or your Barry Horowitz.
Yeah.
Things like that, you know?
And you got to remember the two, like, I mean, I guess they're both in the same grouping. Visibility of title matches was a lot less then than it is now. You weren't defending the belts every week on, like, Raw or SmackDown or... So, like, you had, like, your super... Like, he won the belt. Like, he beat Tito Santana in that tournament on, like, a throwaway weird TV taping, and it just happened to air on, like, Wrestling Challenge or something like that. And then, like you said, you would have his, like... occasional matches with like a Jim Powers or a so-and-so here and there. And it was just a different time then. But I mean, they're both that way. But to me, I don't know how Perfect lost this. And by such a wide margin on, at least on Facebook.
I think Perfect is, he always comes up in conversations on guys who should have been world champion and never got the rub. But when you really think about it, like for me, like him and Bret Hart were my guys in the 90s when it came to the IC title. And that's what I thought of when I thought of the IC title. And I'm sure that's why Savage and Steamboat held their own in this tournament. And obviously Savage won. But when you really think about it, man, I can't tell you one like defense that Perfect had. I mean, the same goes with Savage. But I think Savage's WrestleMania 3 match is what kind of puts him over that hump.
Yeah, and a lot of people, and again, this is not a slight or anything like that, because I kind of feel the same way. It's what, Matt, it's what you've always said. People judge it based on, like, the wrestler's career overall and their memories of said wrestler that might have nothing to do with the Intercontinental Championship reign, but it's just, you know, it's Macho Man. Macho Man had the longer, albeit not by, actually, yeah, he had the longer career, but mainstream-wise, it's probably pretty neck and neck with Hennig. Maybe he's got him by a couple years in WWE and then in WCW. It's more of what they remember the wrestler as and not necessarily their runs, which is fine. Because again, these tournaments are all, it's all what you want it to be.
I do think that when it comes to more important storylines or more memorable storylines, maybe if you want to put it that way, the one that stands out is Savage Steamboat, of course. And that was, you know, that was a 6-month buildup. And Perfect really didn't have that story. Yeah, he kind of flip-flopped with Texas Tornado. There was a bit of a rivalry there. And yes, the match he had was with Bret was awesome. He even had a great match with Tito to win the title. Ding for Tito.
Yeah.
But by and large, the Intercontinental Championship is all about that story with Savage and Steamboat. And that was a great buildup. And that's one thing that he had on Perfect, you know? I mean, I just look at it from that standpoint. I mean, you know, I'm a fucking expert when it comes to the Intercontinental title. You guys know that. So I was able to kind of push that away. But if you look at it from that perspective, you can sort of understand why, you know, that storyline pushes Savage over the top. Did I think it was going to be that much of a runaway? No, I thought it was still going to stay close for the whole thing. But, you know, stranger things have happened in this tournament. So.
And you're right. You think of Mr. Perfect's, like, runs in WWE, or his run in WWE, he was more high profile when he didn't have the belt. He didn't have any really good stories while he was the champion, and I didn't think about this till right now. Yeah, you had good matches, like you said, with Bret Hart, and I don't even count that Boss Man match, to be honest with you, but Like, what other story can you possibly tell me? You know what I think the perfect term for Mr. Perfect is, now that I think about it? Perfect. He was probably the most long-term transitional champion for that belt.
You know what? You make a good point, because leading up to that, it was Perfect being built up, you know, to be on that top-tier heel level for either Hogan, which was the way they were going at first when they paired him up with the Genius, or even afterwards, the Warrior. And then it's like, okay, you have Hogan and Warrior at WrestleMania 6. Warrior wins. Hogan disappears. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Perfect is kind of like, well, almost like a consolation prize. They set him up for the IC title, and then he really didn't do anything all that memorable with it. But he did have higher profile stories before that when he was working with Hogan, you know? So I don't know. Sorry, Mr. Perfect. Macho Man wins all. He is the first ever Wizards IC champion.
I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, I got no problem with it.
You know, I don't think you couldn't have gone wrong with any of the four finalists, in my opinion. So I thought it was a super successful tournament.
Yeah, great Final Four. Absolutely a fantastic Final Four.
Chalk, baby. First chalk Final Four in one of our tournaments.
Yep.
Yeah, I was more upset about the tag tournament, so I'm okay with this.
Oh, there you go.
Because I don't think the Legion of Doom are that great, so.
We're gonna have this conversation again?
No, we're not, because we have so much to talk about. There's so much wrestling going on. Let's talk Backlash.
Ooh!
Backlash.
All right. WWE had a pay-per-view last night. I guess it flew under the radar if you were a casual fan, because a lot of people didn't know what was happening. I saw one segment, and then I watched 15 minutes of the greatest wrestling match ever, and I had to turn it off. Not because it was bad, just because I didn't give a shit. And I did go back and finish it today.
Okay.
Wow.
I want to know who is in charge of the idea of promoting it as the greatest wrestling match ever. Because right from go, you clearly are at a disadvantage. That's a fucking bolt. Like, if it happens, like, if they just let this match be as what it was, and then afterwards someone was like, that may have been one of the greatest wrestling matches ever, you could make a valid point for that. But before the match even happens, and it's being heavily promoted as the greatest wrestling match ever, and you're using graphics of Savage and Steamboat, Hogan and Andre, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, come the fuck on, people. Are you serious? You are building this. You can't be better than that. I'm sorry. Like, all that shit was organic. Those storylines were so well put together, and the match was just the cherry on top. Here, you work backwards. You have two amazing, amazing wrestlers, and they had this great showing at WrestleMania for what it was under the circumstances. They made it work. And then their next step is something where you're going to christen it as the greatest wrestling match ever? Oh.
Yeah.
Man, that's tough. I just don't get the thinking.
It immediately puts you behind the eight ball. But I guess they just wanted to go a completely different direction than they did with the WrestleMania match. So, like, what's the opposite of what they did at WrestleMania? I guess an actual wrestling match. Because what they did at WrestleMania was the opposite of wrestling. So, in that regard, I guess I get why it went with that angle. Was it dumb? Stupid? Yeah, but at least, if in their thinking, like, it was for Edge to redeem himself as an actual in-ring guy, all right, I'll give you a pass on that, but you're doomed from the start with that. Unless, dude, and full disclosure, I fell asleep. Not because it was a bad match. I fell asleep during it. And then I told myself I'd watch it a little bit at work today. Then I saw it was a 45-minute match. I'm not watching. I'm sorry. I can't commit 45 minutes to watching this match like today. So I, you know, hit the skip bar a little bit and saw the finish. But yeah, weird. And Edge got hurt.
Yeah,
Edge, that came up after the fact. Yeah,
Do you think
people got hurt this week?
Do you think they would have been better off saying, like, this isn't going to be a sports entertainment match, this is going to be a wrestling match?
What do you mean?
Because, you know, WWE does not throw around the term wrestling ever.
Yep.
Right?
It's sports entertainment for them.
Correct.
And Kate said, Kate the Great, in the chat on the hot mic, she said that Edge had spoken about how heavily it was being advertised as a wrestling match and how uncomfortable he was with that. Do you think they would have been better off coming at it like, you know, they wowed the sports entertainment world at WrestleMania in the no-holds-barred match? You know, now we're going to see them in a wrestling match. Just leave it at that. Because you know how people, like...
Maybe.
You know how people get, especially in the days of the internet and social media, like, throwing the phrase the greatest wrestling match of all time around is... You're asking for shit to begin with, and then you do it under the WWE banner, which, with all due respect to the WWE and their performers, they really don't... People don't
you
see
haven't had
that.
Respect. You haven't had respect for the WWE in a while, Matt. Who are we kidding?
That's true, but I want to be, you know, fair to people that do enjoy the WWE product, even though if you watched that Street Profits thing last night, I don't know how you have a fucking brain in your head to sit around and say that was good, but that's neither here nor there. We'll get to that.
I want that smoke.
I don't know. I felt like they were so far behind the eight ball saying that they were going to do the greatest wrestling match of all time when they've clearly done a lot of cinematic shit since the pandemic, and you're kind of shorthanded with your roster. I don't know. The match was good. Don't get me wrong. You know, the weird camera angles, like when they fucking locked up and there was like a camera underneath them, like that one Ooh. Quick shot, I was like, what is this? The piped in crowd noise, like... Stop.
No. I enjoyed having the crowd in there. It actually felt like there was something big going on. I'm kind of surprised they haven't been doing that from the jump, especially when they put the fucking dividers back on and it kind of blurs, you know, like you have an audience there, but you don't know how big the audience is. I think it did a big service to the match, and it made a lot. It built it up a lot more than what it was.
The crowd I didn't have a problem with. The piped in crowd, the fake crowd noise.
Yeah, I loved it.
I hated it.
Fucking great idea.
I didn't even notice it till today because they showed a lot of the reactions of the NXT people in the crowd. So it seemed like they were the ones that were actually making the noise. I didn't notice it till I read it today.
It's a little weird that they chose things like Fight Forever and This Is Awesome and shit like that. Like, yeah, I'm kind of like, all right, they really didn't need to do that. That was over the top, but I think it added a lot more to the match. I think it made the atmosphere that much better. And truth be told, I enjoyed the shit out of this match. 45 minutes or not, I fucking thought it was fantastic. Give me Edge and Orton all day, day. That's all I fucking loved about. It was great. I loved it.
I think the match saved the show.
Great match.
The match was done. It was awesome. It's one of the best matches the WWE has done in
oh, wow.
Probably since, you know, as far as this year goes, you could put the Men's Royal Rumble in there, maybe AJ Taker from Mania, and this is like the three best things they've done, really. I'm sure there was a takeover match from like the first takeover of the year or something from like NXT UK, but I'm not going to speak on something I'm not entirely familiar with.
The
match was awesome.
It was fucking great.
They told a fucking great story. You know, I kind of watched it half-heartedly looking to find out if I could pinpoint where Edge gets hurt, but I don't think you can. There's no clear, like...
Well, I would imagine they, since it was taped, I would imagine maybe they figured a way out around that, maybe.
I mean, it's not like he got hurt and they stopped the match, though. They had to finish.
Well, they could have.
You know what was cool too? Coming down the stretch, they were playing back to the old school, like guys that would like influence their careers. Like Randy Orton hits a pedigree, and then Edge fucking hits an Olympic slam, like shit like that. And then fucking Edge hits the unprettier, and then what's his name hits a rock bottom. It was good shit, man. Like down the stretch where they were digging into their past to try to you know get the win over each other. Good stuff. Fucking. two RKOs, especially one off the fucking top where he catches him and he still kicks out. And it took the fucking punt, dude. With Edge's all fucking crippled up neck, he got kicked in the fucking head and boom, done. Great. What? Loved it.
Not to mention Fink doing the announcing.
Yeah, and they had the fucking MSG marquee from the drop-down microphone. I thought it was awesome. Great. Completely well done. If you're going to fucking have the opportunity to produce it like that, you might as well go for the gusto and fucking do it, you know?
Yeah, don't do what you did before that match.
What, the Street Profits and the fucking ninja bikes and the fucking...
Dude.
You know what? I'm pissed off that they quashed a fucking title match for that. But come on, man. In the grand scheme of things, come on.
Come on, man.
Are you cut them a break,
are
dude.
You cut them a break?
We just had the conversation last week about too much silly stuff when silly stuff doesn't need to happen. And then, like, they go, if you want to do the silly stuff and you want to make it a cinematic thing that we talked about, This was just beyond the scope of ridiculous trash.
Look, I get it, but something about it, I was like, I don't hate this.
You got fucking shit for brains. That's what you got, son.
Really? Really?
Yeah, for fucking, 6 weeks they did fucking axe throwing, bowling, basketball, all sorts of fucking dumb shit. You know, because why would you let the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders fucking wrestle? And then you're gonna promote a tag match? What?
They're sports entertaining. They're not wrestling.
They can go fuck their hands. Every single person involved in that should have been fucking fired. Paul Heyman, Pritchard, it was fucking garbage. What was in the fucking garbage can with them? The dumpster, a fucking Godzilla? An octopus? What was that? Fucking ninjas? What am I watching? The fucking turkey? Turkey legs? Fuck out of here. Fucking
maybe it was
waste.
Eric Rowan's spider.
Fucking waste. Just I couldn't understand what was going. Every time they were like, "We need to settle this in the ring." I'm like, "Please get in the fucking ring and redeem yourself for this fucking garbage." I get it. They're not gonna say no to it. They're getting paid by the WWE. But for fuck's sake, don't they have anything better to do? It fucking blows my mind. These are fucking two legit tag teams. The Viking Raiders are fucking. They've won tag titles everywhere they've been. Why are they doing this? It makes no fucking sense to me.
This is fun.
It's the lowest rated thing they've done on Raw for months. It's fucking garbage.
They fired Paul Heyman. What more do you want?
I want Vince McMahon to fucking die.
Whoa. Hey, come on now.
No, the WWE product will not get better until he is gone. Because
I'm never going to die.
Because you could say Paul Heyman gets fired. Bruce Pritchard isn't writing. Guess what? At the end of the day, fucking Vince McMahon puts a stamp on approval on it. And if you've read enough fucking wrestling books and listened to enough wrestling podcasts, you know he's a fucking idiot. In the last 15 years, he's all about fucking making an ass out of people and just fucking changing his mind for God knows what fucking reason. What is this? This is tag team wrestling. You're the WWE. The Hart Foundation, the Killer Bees, the British Bulldogs, the New Age Outlaws, the Road Warriors. The fucking list can go on and on about great tag teams that's wrestled under the WWF, WWE banner. Like 2020, like some kid's going to turn on wrestling and you're going to see this and you go, this is fucking dumb. And you're going to put on something else. Not even wrestling. You're just going to put something else on. If that was on fucking Fox on a Friday night, I'm not watching this. What am I watching? What is this? Yeah. What, ninjas? What the fuck? Where did the ninjas come from? And now they're all friends and they're hanging out in a fucking dumpster with some Godzilla-like creature? Like, where's the payoff?
That's respect, bro. Now they respect each other.
Great. And we still didn't get a fucking match between them for the fucking tag titles. I'm glad that's what our tag team champions are doing in the fucking WWE. You garbage fucking product. Piss me off.
What do you think about what the women are doing with the tag team titles? I thought that was a great opening match.
I turned it on at the end of the McIntyre match. Saw that segment. Got really, really mad. Then watched when they started doing the Three Amigos suplexes to each other. I was like, I don't want to watch this. I'm just completely done with this right now. So I didn't watch any of the rest of the pay-per-view.
Well, that's a shame.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it? I heard Nia Snax and fucking Asuka was a fucking fart in church. Double count out.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit.
What are you doing?
I'm sick.
Yeah. I mean, other than the Street Profit stuff, nothing was bad, but nothing was like maybe the finish of the Bobby Lashley Drew McIntyre match I could have easily done without, because you already have MVP there. Like, you have two of the best like big guys you've ever had like wrestling each other. Two did great stuff in like Impact, and then you have the finish involving Lana, which is just could have done without that, but. I'd say like a solid. See, I can't even. I'll say like a C minus.
Yes.
So borderline out of D overall.
When Lana came out, what was she trying to do? She's yelling, "You cheated! You cheated!" Like, I didn't get that. Like, what was she trying to do? She was trying to tell Lashley that he wasn't good. Like, I didn't get that at all.
Oh, I don't know.
So you had that. And then
how was our handicap match?
The handicap match was a fucking embarrassment, dude. That's a whenever you got fucking seriously. And then they're like, oh, they're fucking doing pranks to fucking what's his nuts to Braun Strowman, and then fucking Morrison's got the pin, and then the Miz fucking knocks him off. So it's like now there's trouble in paradise. With all apologies to Kofi Kingston. And so they didn't even fucking win the title anyway. You have a 2-on-1 advantage on the champion and you still fucking lose? Come on.
Well, yeah, because only one of them, whoever got the pinfall, would be the champion. So that makes sense at least a little bit.
Yeah, but still, that they're not BFFs like Sasha and fucking and Bailey. I mean, at least for now.
Miz and Morrison aren't BFFs? What, are you crazy?
Well, then why did Miz fucking turn on his buddy when his buddy could have become the world champion or the universal champion or whatever?
Because why wouldn't Miz want to be universal champion?
Because his buddy's going to be champ. Isn't that the next best thing?
It's the next best thing if Miz isn't in the match.
See, that's a bad attitude to have, Kev.
Miz doesn't play second fiddle to anyone, Tony.
Fucking Collarbone and What's-His-Nuts fucking played second fiddle to Sami Zayn and he couldn't even keep the belt anyway. So fuck that.
Did you guys see the music video? How great that was?
That was good shit.
Dude, I love them as a team.
Because the Miz fucking turned his back on his boy. I don't know.
He didn't turn his back on him. That's business. He like you said.
From realizing his dream.
Miz is in the match too.
But the Miz was
Miz needs to reclaim the throne, brother.
No, he doesn't. He's a good B-plus player, Kevin. John Morrison's the fucking winner on that team.
No way.
It's going to get easier.
You're telling me John Morrison's better than The Miz?
Yeah!
Oh, your balls hurt.
Dude, I know they do. I got to fucking whack my bag later. I'm all fucking backed up. Fucking John Morrison and his wife were fucking champions side by side, similar to the way Triple H and Stephanie were champions.
Hold on.
Get him, Matt.
Fucking comparing Triple H and Stephanie to fucking John Morrison and Taya Valkyrie?
All right, if you needed a team to back you up, who you going with?
I'm going with Triple H and Stephanie.
You're out of your mind.
Why?
Stephanie is like one fucking step up from Brandi Rhodes, dude. Admit it. Taya Valkyrie could fuck Triple H up on her own.
You think that's why I'm picking that team for Stephanie McMahon?
Well, you got 2-on-1 and two good fucking heads. Always beat one fucking like Stunad and one fucking.
Yeah, Triple Head is not a Stunad. He's a cerebral assassin. He's the game.
Sounds like somebody else is backed up, Kev.
Why would I say?
You said Triple Head.
Triple Head?
Is that a DDP yoga?
Should be. When the pandemic's over, that's how a lot of indie girls are gonna get their jobs back. I'm fucking taking Triple H, bro.
I don't know about that, man.
He's a fucking dirtbag. He's a scumbag. He'll fucking do dastardly shit to John Morrison and his wife.
He's no Triple Head.
No.
Yeah, but the problem is Stephanie's. There's no way Stephanie's handling Taya, and when Taya's done fucking Taya her up, she's gonna fucking help out John Morrison. And they're gonna fuck
Stephanie McMahon is jacked and she's crazy.
Okay, and Taya's not.
I don't know if she's crazy. Taya's built, but she's.
Stephanie's
a beast.
Ty did spend a lot of time in Mexico, so you know, watch out for that too. But I'm still going. Triple H could easily take care of both. Triple H ain't below hitting a bitch. I'm just gonna say it now.
I thought you said Triple AJ. Jesus.
No, I did not say Triple AJ.
Everything's triple tonight to Matt. Do you add another energy to do tonight? Is there a triple energy day today?
No, I can't. I fucking killed myself doing those two energies back to back, man. Fuck that noise. All right, so the women's match was a double count out. I don't get, whatever.
Oh, that was gross.
I don't even understand how, look. Nia Jax is clearly a destroyer. Like, literally, if this was UFC, she'd be the champion.
She's destroying bitches. She's destroying her waistline. She's destroying her blood vessels.
That wasn't nice.
I'm just saying, dude.
You don't have to bring that into the conversation, though.
She's a destroyer. I'm backing up your point.
Yeah, but the waistline comment wasn't necessary. Maybe she's got thyroid problems. Why you got to pick on her?
Maybe she's got cholesterol problems, too. I'm not picking on her. I'm just, you know, I sees what I sees.
All right, well, that doesn't affect the fact that she fucking hurts everyone in the ring. She hurts everyone in the ring. How does she still get a title shot? Like, they're fucking fake. Write a storyline. Take it away from her.
I don't mind that she got the title shot. I mind that, because it's a double count out, that this is going to continue my mind.
I think it's on. I think it's
Asuka beat her.
I think the rematch is tonight on Raw.
Oh, wonderful.
All right, so let it end here. And
maybe we get
Nia into a smaller role.
Yeah, because you're saving Nia's big fucking first loss to Asuka for fucking Monday Night Raw. Whoopie fucking do!
Some more eyes on it, buddy.
Stupid. Stupid, 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 stupid. Dumb. Dumb.
The only match we all lost was the Sheamus Jeff Hardy match.
You know, and I'm thinking back on it. I know hindsight and everything, but should have fucking saw that one, dude.
Yeah.
Saw that one.
I flip-flopped him. I had Sheamus winning the last pay-per-view and Jeff Hardy this one.
Well, you're just a fucking bastion of bad luck, aren't you?
Yeah. You were all fucking getting your fucking shit all hard for this tag match. So tell me about this women's tag match with your girls, the Iconics, or whatever the fuck they're called. Oh, good.
I forgot how great their fucking theme music is.
Dude, they're the best thing on TV right now.
They are, and I fucking hated them when they came out, but they fucking turned on me, dude. They are awesome.
They're hysterical, and they're a great social media follow too. So,
not a bad. You know who's an unfortunate media follower right now? Fucking Alexa Bliss. Did you fucking hear that these fucking J-Brones were all harassing her and shit, calling her old, making fun of her and stuff?
Calling her old?
I forget what the fuck they were. There was a lot of people like talking shit to her, because apparently she was dating somebody or had dated somebody who was like in Hollywood or some shit. I don't know. It was some fucking TMZ shit, and she was like, she made her Twitter private now. Because people were just annoying the shit out of her. As if we didn't fucking learn a lesson from a couple of weeks ago. You know what I'm saying?
I bet you all the people that harassed her were all the fucking white knights that got on their horses when that poor girl took her own life. And were like, stop bullying people. I'm more upset at the fact that she has a fucking pig as a pet. Because I think that's just as disgusting as having fucking dreadlocks.
Well, what's wrong with having a pig for a pet?
Pigs are fucking gross.
Pigs are awesome. They're fucking delicious. They're fucking
She doesn't
cute.
Have it to eat it, stupid. It's her fucking pet. It's yeah, fucking wait, sleeps it like with a, her.
Is it an actual pig or is it one of those little tiny
No,
pigs?
It's an actual pig. Just Google Alexa Bliss pig.
That's not nice.
No, not
does
that.
Does it sleep in a blanket?
Sometimes it is referred to as a pig in a blanket, yes.
That's right.
Can you dip it in ketchup and mustard?
If you were a hot dog, would you eat yourself?
I'd be delicious.
I love hot dogs.
Kate the Great says she thinks...
If I was a hot dog and I had a nickel, I'd eat myself.
That was it. It was Ryan Cabrera. Thank you.
That was Kate the Great.
Yes, thank you, Kate.
Someone has to be up on their fucking TMZ garbage.
Oh, Ryan Cabrera is like great. Is good friends with The Miz.
Well.
Oh, great. Fucking B-list celebrity TV people. Congratulations. I don't even know who this Ryan Cabrera kid is.
I just know him from The Miz, and Dolph Ziggler are friends with him.
Hey, but so you like you can't tell me what he does in Hollywood, though, right?
He was a singer. I know that.
Like, for he sings music?
Yeah, he had, like, a number one hit in, like, I want to say, like, the pop era from, like, 99 to, like, 2001.
Yeah, where?
Had,
like, in, like, song. Where? In fucking Burma? Get out of here.
Dude, fucking everyone got famous in that era. Everyone had at least one hit.
I didn't get famous.
Well, did you write a song?
He's not even the fucking first hit on YouTube. There's, like, two other hits before him. What's the song, On the Way Down?
That's it.
House of Fire?
On the way down.
Never.
Steel ball. I know On the Way Down. That's it. On the way down.
Let's hear this dog shit.
Dolph Ziggler.
Let's hope we don't get another fucking copyright thing in our email box. Hit that.
Oh, this guy looks like fucking douchebag Billy Joe Holiday. Yeah, well, fuck
what
this guy.
What is this? It's fucking sounds like garbage.
It's nonsense. I had to shut it off. I'm going to fucking vomit.
Yeah, he was like a pop guy.
He used to fucking pop into the middle of the fucking street. Get hit by a fucking car.
Wow.
Oh, you know who? I don't know how I know this, but you know who he used to... No, that's not him. Never mind.
Thanks for playing.
I thought he used to date Jessica Simpson.
You're thinking of the kid from 98 Degrees.
Oh, no, I know who Nick Lachey is. I thought he used to date her, too. But that might be something. It might be him.
Well, when you figure it out, you let us know. So that you enjoy the
I
tag
will,
match,
Matt.
Tony.
Matt, you know what?
Please.
We'll be in the middle of New Japan coverage, and I'm going to chime
of course,
in with breaking news.
Of course. Why would you not think of it now when we're talking about dog shit? You'll think about it during the entree when there's a delicious filet mignon in your face.
We're going to do our picks for New Japan. I'm going to come right in and be like, guys, guess who Ryan Cabrera banged?
So, Tony, you're happy with this women's tag match?
What happened now?
You were happy with it. You liked this.
Yeah, it was fine. It was a good match, I thought.
All right. Apollo Crews retained on the pre-show. Kevin Owens was involved, so it's nice to see him back at TV. You know what else I forgot to mention about the greatest wrestling match? Samoa Joe, awesome on commentary.
Yes, very good. Very good.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was even him doing it till like, I guess it was, I forget what match it was, but I was like, man, this guy, whoever this guy is on commentary is like really, really good.
Who?
Like, oh, wait, it's Samoa Joe.
Who was with him? It was Todd Phillips and Corey Graves, no?
No. When it was, I think it was Byron Saxton when it was Samoa Joe.
And who else was
them,
it was Corey,
well, Michael Cole and Corey Graves did the SmackDown type-ish stuff, I think.
So,
and
because I got to tell you, they gave Samoa Joe a lot of leeway. People weren't shitting on him just to shit on him like they do with Cole and Saxton and these other people. And I wonder how much he's being produced. Like, I wonder if they're just letting Joe do his own thing, because he does sound great on commentary.
Yeah, it was weird because they didn't show the commentary team a whole lot during the actual show. So that's why like it was tough for me to gauge, other than like if you saw him in the background.
Kevin, Kate the Great wants you to know it was Ashley Simpson.
Who's Ashley Simpson?
That's who Ryan Cabrera dated.
Oh, all right. So that's her sister, right?
Yes, so just get that out of the way before we get to anything that I want to talk about. What? Why are you? Why does? What? What's wrong with Drew Gulak's face?
He's pissed off because Kevin interrupted us about Ryan Cabrera.
I didn't
get you, Garifo.
How? That wasn't my interruption.
No, we cut it off at the pass, Tony.
Oh, sorry. I'll leave now.
Drew Gulak's turned on you now.
He turns around, round, baby, round, round.
Ground round, baby, ground, ground round. Popcorn on the table, old school movies in the back.
So we all went 5-1 this week. So the standings look like they stay the same. Tony's still in first place at 64-30. I am right behind him at 63-31.
Yes, Dixie.
At Dixie Carter. Kevin is 55-37, keeping his head above water. I think Kevin's going to make up a lot of ground in this New Japan Cup. I'm just letting you know that now.
Oh, good for you.
While we are in the WWE realm, I would like to talk about NXT, because I watched...
Hey.
I watched... You did not watch NXT this week?
Who, me?
No, Kevin went like he made like a thing.
Because I watched a little of it. I actually watched AEW this week, so I watched a little bit of NXT. Dude, I was in bed by like 9 o'clock every day this week, other than the podcast last week.
Would you turn 60?
Dude, I didn't watch after the podcast. I went to bed Tuesday. I was in bed by like 8:30. Wednesday, I watched. I was in bed by like 9.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
You feeling all right?
Oh, no, I feel fine. This whole thing. I'm back to work full time now, so I'm going every day. That's gonna help with my sleeping pattern. But my sleeping pattern was just so messed up, like so ridiculously messed up. So, but I watched AEW. But I only got up to the. Finn Balor, Kevin Grifo, truck driver match.
On NXT, not AEW.
On NXT, yeah. But I watched all of AEW. I only got up to Finn Balor, truck driver on NXT.
All right. NXT wasn't terrible. I decided to watch because in your house, I wanted to see what happened. We got an answer to my question last week, what to do next with Karrion Kross, because that's how they ended the show. After Adam Cole had beat Dexter Lumis, Scarlett came out and just put the hourglass in the ring.
Nice.
Slowly backed away. I hate mixed tag matches. I hate the fucking Keith Lee, Mia Yim, Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae stuff. I don't like mixed tag matches. So Tony will like this. To Tony's point. Why can't Johnny Gargano or Keith Lee beat the women up, but the women can beat the men up?
Yep.
I didn't like it. The finish was clever. I'll give him that for the finish, how Johnny Gargano DDT'd Keith Lee onto Candice LeRae, and then Keith Lee was, like, concerned because he hurt a woman, and then Johnny Gargano rolled. My brain is going faster. No, my mouth is going faster than my brain.
Triple head, gay. What was the
triple,
other
one? Triple AJ. Triple head is a t-shirt, by the way.
Triple head is a t-shirt. Fantastic. So whatever, that was interesting. The head shrinkers look awesome.
wait, they're back?
Nah, there's a fucking tag team that's just like them. Indus Sheer with Malcolm Bevins.
That's, what's his shoot name? Not his shoot name, but who the fuck was he on the Independence? On Ring of Honor.
Punishment Martinez.
Bivens.
That's Stokely Hathaway.
Stokely, yeah.
You know, he's just a manager. The tag team is the head shrinkers. He's just another Samoan fucking tag team.
Are they Samoan?
I don't know. They beat the shit out of some jobbers in a fucking squash mask. They look just like the head shrinkers.
I think they're like Saudi Arabian or Indian or something like that.
Oh, whatever. It's all the fucking same to me. No, don't ring the fucking bell. They look. When I see them, I said, oh, these guys must be head shrinkers because they look like the fucking head shrinkers.
I think I broke the bell.
Good. I have one here.
I thought a little like AOP-ish 2.0 with a little more.
Yeah, I could see that. Without a fucking tank top on. They look like AOP too. Mike Reed was on Dynamite a couple weeks ago. Now he does double duty on NXT. Nice for Mike Reed getting them paydays.
Reed is the tall guy?
He was the guy that got kicked off the fucking apron in the tag match.
He was in the tag match. Because his parents are wrestlers too or something like that?
Oh, are they? I don't know.
They mentioned it on AEW, I think. Isn't it tag match?
What is Cameron Grimes' gimmick?
He's Kevin Grifo, truck driver.
That's right.
Yeah, but what's his gimmick?
He's a truck driver that looks like Kevin Grifo.
No, that's not his gimmick because he wears a fucking top hat like he's a carny or something.
Well, that's what I thought it was at first.
He's a sophisticated Kevin Grifo truck driver.
Well, he doesn't want to.
What he is? He's just Cameron Grimes.
He doesn't want to wrestle Finn Balor, and he claims that Punishment Martinez hurt his jaw, and then he's talking up these two women, and then Drake Younger has got the laptop with Lord Steven Regal on it, and they have to go find him. And I can't even.
And you can't even hear Regal, really.
I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know. I get we're in a pandemic. I just don't. Like, this is dumb. The match was great. Apparently, Cameron Grimes beat Finn once before, so now this was, like, the second match, and I guess they're going to have a rubber match because Finn beat him, so it was a good match. Dakota Kai beat Casey Cannizzaro. You know, she stopped finger-blasting Ricochet's asshole to have a match, so we had that going on.
Towson University alum, baby. Go Tigers.
What is WWE's fascination with taking the mask off of masked superstars?
Is that how they finished with El Fantasmo?
Yes.
Because he was, so they did the heel turn with him, I guess, huh?
Yeah, so he comes out, and then Drake Maverick comes out, and he wants another match against him for his NXT Cruiserweight Championship. And, of course, Maverick has to throw in there that, you know, oh, I got a new contract, because, you know, just throw it in people's faces that got fired. And then these two, I guess there's been a gimmick with masked men. They've been putting people in the trunks.
Yeah.
All right, well, they came out. So then Drake and El Fantasmo went back to back like they were going to fight with them. But then Fantasmo turned around. They all beat the shit out of Drake Maverick.
Contra Unit is in 205 Live now?
No, this was NXT, not 205 Live.
But Contra's got the fucking mask guy.
Let me ask you this. Did the mask guys take off the mask?
Yes, everyone is unmasked now.
So was it DJZ and was it the guy Raul
Mendez?
Okay, so they were unmasked and then they were ambushed and then put, I guess they put on masks, but they were like, this is a story that's been going on for a while.
Right, yes, the way they've been putting like people in the cars and shit.
Yeah.
And then Fantasma took his mask off and he is now Santos Escobar.
Well, whoopty fucking law.
That's got to be a play on
Santos Escobar.
Pablo Escobar.
Santa Claus and Pablo Escobar. There you go. He delivers the coke.
So these guys, this is a new stable in NXT.
I like it.
Get excited, Tony. Get excited.
I can get down with that. Yeah. I like Zima Ion. I like Mendoza. So
cool. And they were all the fucking ninjas in the fucking pay-per-view.
No, they were not. That was Takira Tozawa, and then that big black ninja was like some performance center dude. He's like 7'3". I don't have his name because I don't care enough to know. Because ninjas, you know, we need, this is what we need, some ninjas.
You've never run.
It was the Yeti.
You never ran into a 7'3" African ninja?
I've never run into any kind of ninjas.
Oh, I ran into a ninja that was fucking showing us card tricks at one of your birthday get-togethers years ago.
Oh, yeah, Ninja New York. Nice. Good place.
Right. I found a book of matches in my cabinet like 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh, I remember going there.
Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart will get a title shot this week against Sasha and Bayley.
Is Tegan the one that turned on Dakota, or is Dakota the one that turned on Tegan?
Well, it depends on your wording of it, Tony.
Oh, yeah, Tony, you do confuse people with how people turn on each other, so.
In Tony language, Tegan turned on Dakota.
At the fucking Hell in the Whatever.
War Games.
There you go, thank you.
Right, is that right, Matt? In Tony language, Tegan turned on Dakota?
Right, because Dakota actually turned on Tegan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like Dakota. She's cool.
So they did a nice little puff piece on Breezango.
Oh, wonderful.
Which actually was done well. They kind of went through like everything they've done up until now, and it was like when we went to SmackDown, people loved us, but they just took us as a comedy routine, and we're not a comedy routine anymore. You can laugh at us before the bell, but when the bell rings, we're going out there to do one thing. So it kind of makes their match against Imperium feel like more than what it might be.
Nope.
Tony says no.
Nope.
Yeah, it does a little bit, but as long as your name is Breezango, then it doesn't.
Good call, Kev. Good call. Hi, we're dicks, except for when we get in the ring, that we're just mean penises. Grr. Nope, doesn't work. Sorry. Did Jesse and Festus work for you? Or Festus was just some big oaf, and then when the bell rings, he kills people? And then all you have to do is ring the bell once, and then he's like an oaf again?
Come I on. Didn't hate it.
It
was the first time that's ever been done, so it was kind of cool.
I don't buy it. Breezango, nope.
No?
Nope. No.
I never thought I would say this, but for the second in less than a week, another fucking Adam Cole stinker, man. This main event was fucking shit.
Baby!
There was way too much going on. It was such a sloppy, weird, I don't know, man. And I know, Kevin, I know you love Dexter Lumis, and this is only the first time I've really got to see him in NXT. I know his work as Sam Shaw. I don't see it, man. I don't get it. Roderick Strong ran away from him all night. He was seeing him everywhere. It was just a lot of shit going on in the main event. I just felt like it never got going. It was just a weird main event. The best thing to come out of it was when Dexter Lumis chased off Roderick Strong and Velveteen Dream chased off Bobby Fish, and then Scarlett came out and put the hourglass in the ring. So I guess it's going to be Karrion Kross against Adam Cole at some point, and that's going to end the reign of Adam Cole.
And that's probably why they put it on TV and didn't save it for a pay-per-view or a takeover, because maybe Dexter Lumis just might not be ready yet. But I mean, I dig the character, and I think he's got a hell of a look, and I think he will be a big-time player, but I guess just now is not the time.
Dexter Lumis looks like somebody put Randy Orton and Jack Gallagher in a bag and just fucking like mixed them and mushed them up, and then Sam Shaw came pouring out.
It's a great way to make wrestlers.
But you don't think, like, with the fucking...
I do. I get it.
The fucking mustache.
I like it.
I don't know.
I'm not against it. I just... Like I said, the whole main event was weird. I never thought I'd say I didn't like two Adam Cole matches in a span of... like 6 days.
No, maybe Adam.
Yeah, but are we calling that Velveteen Dream match a match?
You call it whatever you want. It did not come across well, so
it's probably Velveteen's fault.
He came out and he attacked like Bobby Fish, and his fucking pants, his underwear was hanging out. It bothered me.
Where did
he had blue underoos on?
Did they have fucking Tully Blanchard's face on him?
No, they did not have Tully Blanchard's face on him.
Well, that's one up on AEW right there.
It's one up on Sean Spears. And you know what?
Chicken butt.
Sean Spears cut... Tully Blanchard cut a fucking sick promo on Sean Spears.
I know! You talk about it every fucking time there's a microphone in front of you. Relax. What, do you want to blow fucking Tully Blanchard now?
Maybe.
Only
what
if
about the glove?
Only if Arn Anderson's eating your asshole while you do it, right? You get the horseman fucking finger cuffs.
I prefer the Brainbuster finger cuffs.
Ooh, Brainbuster Lucky Pierre. There you go.
Yeah, and in one hand I could hold Heenan's jaw, and the other I could hold whatever of his.
You always got to take it to the next level. You can't just be happy being a Lucky Pierre.
I didn't put myself in that position. You did, so I'm going to make the best out of the opportunity, okay? Yeah. If I could be full, I will be full.
Yeah. So who's in front of you, Tully or Arn?
Tully.
So you're getting it from the enforcer.
Because I feel like the enforcer has a beer belly. That would not be good on my neck. And you know what? You got to keep your head down. Don't crane your neck. This will give you a pain in the neck.
No pun intended.
Right. So Tully seems like he's got a little flatter abs.
So your thought is, you know, this whole situation with Tully and Arn is great, but you know what would really put me over the top and give me diamonds? Grab it onto Bobby the Brain Heenan's jaw. That's going to be the icing on the cake.
If you're going to go all out, You know, you grab his jaw, and then you can even throw J.J. Dillon next to you, and you can grab him, too.
You might as well just have a triple bukkake on J.J. when you're all getting ready to finish.
Hey, whatever, man. Whatever, as old Mancer says, whatever gets me to the pay window.
That's all light beers and pay windows. Goddamn, kid.
Kate the Great says, Tully Blanchard gets triple head from me.
Whoa, there's a hot take.
Whoa.
How do you like them apples?
Those apples are kind of ripe, I guess. I don't know. I have no clever pun for that.
I want to stay in the WWE realm. I will watch NXT again at some point this week. I want to start following that because they seem to do a better job than the WWE main shows of Raw and SmackDown. So I'm going to be tuning in, if not Wednesdays, sometime during the week. I mentioned it before. Heyman got relieved of his duties as writer.
Duties.
Some people say that he had an 18-month plan that he had in place, and apparently Vince is not a very patient man. This group of people that he was highlighting was known as the Water Cooler Six, because they were the people who stood around the water cooler at SmackDown and did nothing. So that's why you got to see Andrade, Apollo Crews, Drew McIntyre was one of those people, AOP before they got hurt was all talent that Humberto Carrillo, all talent that Paul Heyman was apparently pushing because he, according to the sheets, according to the Wrestling Observer, I will quote my source because I don't want to get yelled at. They felt like they didn't have any stars and they need to make stars. Unfortunately, that process takes time. So this was Heyman's plan and apparently it was going to take up to 18 months and Vince was not happy with it at all. So that's why I'm just telling you what I read.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, but like this is a weird situation because obviously what would have happened if this was done in front of crowds? Like how would I support Heyman in trying to make new guys, but some of these guys like Humberto Carrillo, Angel Garza, like it was so quick. Angel Garza, like it was like these guys are on NXT, now they're on 205 Live, now they're here, now they're all of a sudden they're up here. Like it just was, and I agree that the patience isn't there from Vince McMahon, but I got a question. I don't think anything was on Heyman's side in this. Like, would this have happened in front of audiences?
I just don't get any of those characters. Like, Drew McIntyre took off, and he deserved to take off because he was doing fuck all since he came back. And then all of a sudden, people started getting behind him because he started developing an attitude. Fine. But, like, these other guys, like fucking Garza and fucking Carrillo, and I don't fucking know who they are from Adam. Oh, Andrade's the U.S. champ. Why? Because he's got the hot girl that comes out with him. And now these other guys are fighting with him. And then they're friends with him. And then one's a friend and the other one's fighting him. And then they're all fighting each other. Like, I'm sorry. It's a fucking hodgepodge of nonsense to me. I just don't get any of it. I don't. And it does him no favors that we're in the middle of a fucking pandemic. But still, like, I didn't give a shit, dude. The only guy I cared about was Drew McIntyre. And I'm happy he's in the spot he's in now. Hopefully he'll be there a little while longer. But who the fuck knows? Vince is fucking crazy, but that doesn't mean that everything that Paul Heyman was trying to do was on the fucking, you know, like on the fucking winner's side of the coin there, you know?
That was one of the
and
things.
I'm sorry, Mac.
No, go ahead, Kev.
And can we honestly call Drew McIntyre's run right now a success?
Well, I mean, his run going into WrestleMania was hot. He was on fire. He was.
I'm with Matt.
Don't you make that face at me now. What do you think? Just because I'm making a face all night now, you could just fucking dive in?
No, there was like some of those stuff he was doing with Drew. Like something that sticks out was like when he beat up Brock and Brock screaming at him why Brock's supposed to be knocked out to pick up the title and pose with it. You know, like, there's Brock
trying to be helpful.
I know he's trying to be helpful, but you got to know like in the moment, like. You got to have that sixth sense to know, no one's telling the fucking Rock or Austin or Taker to do something. Like, they're just fucking doing it by feel. You know, Drew McIntyre shouldn't have to be told, like, when you knock the champ down and you're going into a major WrestleMania match, that you shouldn't be told to. You should just instinctively pick up that belt and pose with it because you want to send the fans home happy, and they want nothing more than to see you stand above the champion with his belt in his face.
Okay, let me backstep you real quick to Backlash.
Backstep.
Do you think WWE did either Braun or McIntyre any favors with how those matches were booked?
In one, you got
a 2-on-1 handicap situation where Braun didn't win until he had one of the partners fucking screw the other one over. And then you look at McIntyre where Lashley looked to have things wrapped up, but then Lana came out and all this fucking Stunad shit happens, and then Claymore winds up winning. That to me doesn't do your fucking top guys any favors when you book them like that. You know?
I completely understand. It was only a matter of time before this came around to bite the WWE in the ass, though. Because of the pandemic, they're in a position where there is no Becky Lynch, there is no Roman Reigns, there is no Brock Lesnar. What?
Becky Lynch isn't there because she's pregnant.
Right. Well, that also will take Seth Rollins off the road too when she has a baby.
And I don't, you know what? Maybe this pandemic happens, it doesn't happen, and maybe Becky Lynch decides that she's going to go another year.
It's just, they have never set themselves up to have new stars. It was the recycling is, you know, let's bring Brock back. Brock's going to win Money in the Bank. He's not announced. Brock's going to take the title off of Kofi. Then he'll drop to McIntyre. And now Braun stepped in shit because that was Roman Reigns' spot, you know? Roman Reigns was supposed to take that title off of Goldberg. So they're just kind of, Otis won fucking Money in the Bank. I mean, there's still a story with that, unfortunately, that you're going to see play out. And yes, they've been hit by the injury bug and there's travel issues and such. But, you know, when fucking Austin goes down in the 90s, you know, The Rock and Triple H and Taker are there to step into those spots. Not when he retired, but when he went down the first time with his injury. Like, they're just not creating, and they're not giving these talents a chance. You know, it's a start-stop thing from the Vince side where something starts going. Like, Fandango's like the perfect, like he was as high as he could be, beat fucking Chris Jericho in his first match. He was fucking over, so fucking over with the crowd at that first Raw, and yes, it's the first Raw after WrestleMania, so everyone takes it with a grain of salt. But then what you do with them from there, where you try and, like, you take something that's organic, and you're like, well, we're going to put the WWE stamp on it now, and it fucked it up instantly. I'm not saying he could have been the next huge star, but there's, like, take fucking Johnny Curtis in this. Let him be Johnny Curtis. Drop the fucking Fandango gimmick. Let him be who he's capable of being. Like, we see this all too often. And Tony always brings this up when we talk about Roman Reigns. And Jericho even said it recently in an interview. Let him be Roman Reigns. The best Roman Reigns you ever saw was that fucking promo during that snowstorm against Brock Lesnar, where he was just a dude. Like, and that always sticks out in my mind. They're not doing themselves any favor, and it's easy for them to blame Paul Heyman because Vince hates Paul Heyman, apparently. That's the rumor around the dirt sheets.
There's no bones about that. No bones about that whatsoever. He's hated Heyman for a long time. He's fired Heyman a bunch of times over the years, hasn't he?
Yes.
He got rid of him from WWE CW, the greatest fucking ECW
ever.
I'll
fucking stab you. I'll stab you right in the neck. You know, look, Kevin Owens coming back, that'll help. What they're doing with Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles on SmackDown is great, but you know, they're two separate brands, so I don't know who the fuck's on Raw because I don't watch either of the shows.
That's okay, because I read recently they're almost ready to hit the panic button about fucking combining rosters again.
Well, they've already kind of done that with the you know, the loophole. Like every year, every time there's a brand extension, there's a loophole like 3 months later that says certain guys can show up wherever they want, and they did it again with this four-person whoever can show up on another show. So as much as I love the brand extension and always want to see it succeed, it's never going to.
Now, sorry, Kev.
No, it's fine. I paused a little bit.
Here's what they need to do now on SmackDown. When Matt Riddle comes up,
bro,
you reunite Catch Point with Drew Gulak with Daniel Bryan.
There you go.
And let Ooh. Them go after fucking Braun. I would be happy with Daniel Bryan to be the champion again if all three of them decimated Braun Strowman. You know, throw Riddle in some high-profile matches. He's supposed to make his debut this week on SmackDown, so that's a bright spot for SmackDown. I just don't think SmackDown needs the help. I think it's Raw. Like, who's next for McIntyre now?
Karrion Kross.
Is it Seth Rollins' turn again? Is he still on TV? Or is he done stealing Rey Mysterio's sight? Dominic's supposed to be on Raw tonight.
I think he's on tonight, right? Doesn't he invite Rey Mysterio to Raw or something like that tonight?
Some nonsense. I thought Rey retired like 2 weeks ago.
No, they never did that. That was like a fake Seth Rollins heel thing.
I had four surgeries in my left knee.
He's a heel.
Matt, was Daniel Bryan in Catch Point?
No, it was Gulak and Riddle and Fred Yehi and
yeah.
I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody else.
Fucking Fred Yehi. God damn, that guy's talented.
But I love that idea. I
heard that name in a long time.
Like when we see a Matt Riddle getting called up to like the main roster, whether or not either brand needs the help, are you confident that Matt Riddle, not to no fault of his own, is going to be that help to the brand? Like, do you think he's just going to be slotted in a silly little role?
What the fuck is a Matt Riddle?
I mean, do you want to have him come up and challenge AJ for the IC title? I'd be okay with that.
Bro.
I mean, I'd be okay with it, but again,
I don't watch enough Raw and SmackDown. I mean, I'm really in no position to talk about WWE at all because all I do is read the results. I don't know. I know AJ's the fucking IC champ. He beat Daniel Bryan in a pretty good match from my understanding Friday night. So it's his first time as an IC champion. So it beats me. Elias is hurt. I don't know where Neckbone is.
Come on.
I don't know what Sami Zayn's status is. It's just it's weird.
That's why I feel like when this is over, we're going to look back at this time from, you know, late February to whenever this is over is just like a lame duck. Like, it happened, it's it, and then we'll never speak of this time again.
It's very possible. I feel like there's been a lot of those in the WWE in the last 15 years, though. Lame,
like what?
Lame duck eras. Shit that just, you know.
Yeah, but this is actually not their fault for the most part. For the most part. Or I'll say 50-50. Right?
I don't know if does a crowd help? I doubt it. Because it still comes across as...
But I'm saying if the pandemic never... And I'm not saying this is going to make everything great again, but if the pandemic never happens, we don't lose Roman Reigns in that spot. And despite how much whatever we want to say about Roman Reigns and the mainstream wants to say about Roman Reigns, that's a big deal.
Of course.
And maybe Brock Lesnar sticks around even longer if, again, say what you want about Brock Lesnar. Maybe he doesn't go away if the pandemic doesn't happen. There's just a whole lot of ifs. Would Paul Heyman still go this route if – I never knew that Paul Heyman was behind all these guys, like Carrillo and Garza. And I thought that was just as a result of the pandemic that, all right, we need to fill time. And listen, I love Andrade. I think Andrade is a star. Pandemic, no pandemic, crowd, no crowd. But like, are these other guys in these roles now if this doesn't happen? But apparently Paul Heyman was adamant about it anyway, and it would have happened probably regardless.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I just think it's that they don't create new stars, and whether it's by injury or pandemic, they put themselves in this situation.
Am I weird in saying that I want to see them create new stars without Paul Heyman having to twist everyone's arm to do it?
No, You shouldn't have to twist anyone's arm to make new stars. That's like the like, as much as I shit on the Attitude Era as a lot of it being bad and not holding up, like, they pumped out, there was like 8 to 10 guys on top. You know,
like, I want to see Austin Theory succeed. I want to see Angel Garza. I want to see these guys succeed, but I don't want it. Like, I feel like in my head, it would be more well earned if, like, Vince McMahon was the one that said, these guys got to go. We all know Paul Heyman knows talent. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we all know that.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to see a guy succeed because Paul Heyman has to go to bat for him. I want him to succeed, and I want him to be creating new stars either because, A, they do it on their own, or because the head of the freaking company actually believes in someone other than Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton.
Right. Like you think back of the last 15 years of the WWE and, like, what sticks out the most? That incoming class of Orton, Cena, Batista, and the SmackDown 6. Edge, Guerrero, Benoit, Jericho. Like, those guys were stars. And then after that, like you got The Miz pops his head in for a little bit. And that's really it. It's been Cena and Orton. Like, I don't know. When I got back into wrestling, like, one of the first pay-per-view main events was fucking John Cena against R-Truth at Capital Carnage or Capital Combat or whatever. Fuck, like, you know, yeah, maybe you count Punk and Daniel Bryan, but that's, like, that's sprinkled in. You throw Wade Barrett in. But even that, like, that whole Nexus thing was, like, John Cena was supposed to be fired, and then he was back on Raw the next night because there was, like, a loophole or some bullshit. Like, I don't know. It's just a lot of stop and start with them, and they're not creating new stars. So then they get to this point where, yes, it's a pandemic, and you decide to go forward, and you know it's going to be tough. But if you had done right by the wrestling business and certain people – you would have guys, maybe they're not, maybe they were that step away and telling them, okay, we've put you in this position. Here's the ball. Now go do something with it. Versus, hey, Austin Theory, come on in. Work a Raw. Guess what? You're going to be on WrestleMania now, and let's strap the rocket to you and see what happens. It's a weird time. I'm with you, Kev. It's a weird time, but if they had prepared better and they just created more stars. Like, what's Aleister Black doing? What's Ricochet doing? Like, these dudes are, like, they could be those stars. Like, Ricochet is fucking amazing in the ring. Amazing.
Remember when there was hope that when you get called up that they're gonna do something with you? And now, like, getting called up, and this has probably been like this for a little bit, getting called up now is almost like a curse. Like, Johnny Gargano was like, no, I'm good here. I'm good in NXT.
It feels like it. It really does feel like it. Where do you go with them from here, you know?
What are you going to do?
So I think that covers all my WWE notes. Extreme Rules is coming to us in July. It looks like it'll be
fucking great.
From the Performance Center. Semper?
Semmer.
Semmer?
Semmer
down. July
19th.
Semmer
down.
I got to go take a pee really fast. Did you guys watch the last episode of The Last Ride?
Yes, I did.
I did not. So,
he shuts off his camera, and now his box is, like, taking up the entire screen.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it because I didn't watch it, and I plan on watching it.
Well, thanks for just fucking taking away my topic of conversation.
Well, it's not my fault. Matt brought it up.
Here's the thing, Kev. The Undertaker.
Tony, I can't. We can't talk about it. We got to talk about something else.
All right. What can't we talk about that you don't know? You know he went to Saudi Arabia with his brother Kane, right?
Are they really related? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, of course they are. They're half brothers. Paul Bearer is Kane's dad, and Mr. Undertaker is Undertaker's dad.
Did you listen? Have you been keeping up with, like, your wrestling podcasts, like your rotation?
I've been trying. I'm sort of halfway through the more recent Jim Ross, where they're covering some WCW show or NWA show. Let me see.
Well, like Raging Cajun,
Clash of the Champions, Coastal Crush.
Oh my God, I'm so far back. I'm all like, I'm just now listening to Bruce's April 24th show, which is the Duggan show.
Ho!
Axel. So I'm listening to that now because I'm back to work.
Spoil that one for you. You know he got arrested by Iron Sheik, right?
What's? Oh yeah. on the turnpike.
Ho!
Ho! Imagine if the tolls today were like they were back then, or vice versa.
The tolls?
On the turnpike. That's a pretty hefty toll. All right, Matt's back. Now you guys can talk about Last Ride.
Kevin didn't want to talk about Last Ride because he didn't watch it yet. He doesn't know the career of The Undertaker.
That's okay. I was just asking. We don't have to talk about it. It's a must-watch series. It's a very revealing things about The Undertaker. It's kind of fun to watch him now after 30 years come out of his character. Highly recommend it.
Ooh, can I mention one thing they talked about, which I was like, they didn't mention it by name, but they showed a graphic of it on the screen.
Is it StarCast?
Yes, they got into the StarCast thing, and Undertaker was just like, I booked myself for a show. I'm not allowed to put my name out there. And he's like,
right, no, I'm going to go pee.
He's like, you know that other company's there? I'm like, what other company? I'm doing an autograph signing. I don't have anything to do with that shit. He's like, and Vince was mad at me. I was mad at him. Fucking idiots.
Loyal to a fault, man. That was a nice payday you missed out on.
Fuck yeah, it was.
Holy shit.
He even offered, what did he say? He would donate it, right? He wanted Triple H to come since The Undertaker couldn't come, and he was going to donate every single penny to a charity of their choice or Connor's Cure or whatever it was. And they were like, no, that's kind of fucked.
It's the machine, baby.
Were they that afraid of fucking AEW? Were they afraid that if they were in the same building as the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega and, God forbid, Chris Jericho, who used to work for them, like something terrible was going to happen? You know what I'm saying?
You never know, man. You never know.
So what do you think of Bruce Pritchard being in charge of everything now? I think that's a fucking huge mistake. Not because I hate Bruce Pritchard or anything, but that's a lot for fucking one guy at his age to handle. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of shit.
I think with the schedule that they have and the how much they're taping, you know, they're not on the road. They're taping more than one Raw or SmackDown at a clip. I don't know. I still think at the end of the day, it all goes over Vince's desk and he has final say. So I don't know, man. You're working with a smaller roster. You're working with smaller storylines. It should be a lot easier, but I guess it's not. I don't know. I booked a fucking Fig Fed when I was like 12.
Oh, how'd that go?
Great. Fantastic. Not as well as MLW is gone.
I didn't watch Lucha Brothers. I'm sorry, dude. I fucking had
to. Don't be sorry.
I can't, dude. It's like Lucha Brothers. It's like when you were complaining about Mance a couple weeks ago. I watched it. I enjoyed it. I mean, I remembered for the most part everything that happened with those stories. But it's like, I don't know, man. I there's some shit I just had to give up this week, and unfortunately, that was on the chopping block. And I feel terrible that I haven't been keeping up with a lot of the NWA stuff either. I haven't fucking watched Nick Aldis. I haven't watched Eli Drake. I've been trying to tune in to Zicky Dice. I get notifications every day. He's on Twitch. And I haven't fucking checked out Girl Power yet either. And they've had some interesting interviews on there. Apparently, Nick Aldis interviewed Camille this week, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, MLW made news. MLW made news this week. They signed with DAZN, DAZN, in the States. So they are a major streaming home for boxing, Bellator, MMA, MLB highlight shows, and other American sports. So that'll be good. Since you didn't watch the MLW Lucha Brothers, I'm just going to let you know our girl is back.
Yes, that I did see. I think they may have showed that last week when they did Kojima. She was on the end of the Kojima episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I missed that.
Unless I saw it somewhere else, because every once in a while they'll have like the pop-up, like the Pulp Fusion and shit like that.
Right.
That might have been where I've seen it.
Well, they did another one of those Pulp Fiction gimmicks. Next week is Steve Corino and the Extreme Horseman, by the way.
That I'll have to check out, definitely, because that's old school fucking MLW.
Which should be awesome. Your Pulp Fiction had the Von Erichs talk about signing with DAZN. Philly Tom Lawler homeschooling his kids.
Yes, I did see that. Okay, and he was trying to teach them that the Von Erichs were ugly, and they kept saying daddy's ugly.
Yes. Hammerstone and Holiday were discussing dynastic coffee.
All right, I did see this. I tuned in for this. Okay.
Yeah.
That's Selena.
Apparently, they're going to do that triple cage match in Puerto Rico.
Of course.
Myron Reed was talking about Injustice fight against Contra.
Did you see the new guy?
Yeah, Saeed Al-Sabah.
Yeah, I haven't followed up with him yet either. I'm fucking behind my MLW.
So is Kota Brazil out?
Yep, he's done.
He's gone. He's out.
He's done with the company, or just done with Contra? Or, I mean, done with Injustice?
No, he's done with the company as far as everything's indicating, yes.
So that's MLW in a nutshell. I just want to blow through a couple more news and notes before we get to the meat of the bone tonight. Which is my New Japan stuff. Yes, the meat of the bone. I'm so excited about this. I can hardly contain myself. Tony will be happy to know that Tessa Blanchard will be defending her Impact Championship against four other individuals at Slammiversary in July.
Yeah, I've seen videos where a woman takes on four guys at once. They never end well.
For you, maybe.
For anyone.
One could only pretend to be such a lucky gal, huh?
It was Triple revealed head. On Impact last Tuesday night that Tessa will defend her title against Michael Elgin, Eddie Edwards, Ace Austin, and Trey Miguel in a 5-person match at Slammiversary.
Yeah.
A couple other things of note from Impact. If you've been watching Impact, Trey got jumped a couple weeks ago. They kind of planted the seeds that the Rascals, one of them may have done it. They had a little disagreement before going out for their tag match on Impact. Michael Elgin defeated Ken Shamrock and Sammy Callahan in an awesome 3-way dance to kick off the show. Tasha Steelz beat Susie. And Tasha, how NWA lets Tasha Steelz go is beyond me. And how Tasha Steelz ends up in Impact versus any other company, AEW, is also beyond me, because we'll talk about it when we talk AEW. They got hit with the fucking injury bug again in their women's division. They can't catch a fucking break over there. Moose is still sauntering around with that title.
The real champion.
Hernandez challenged him, but Moose didn't respond. Willie Mack and Cousin Jake beat Chris Bay and Johnny Swinger. Tony, there's some really weird shit going on with your girl Rosemary and Johnny Bravo and Taya Valkyrie.
Ooh.
Rosemary wants him to take a bite of the poison apple. And every time every time Johnny Bravo's about to do it, Taya Valkyrie calls him on his cell phone and Johnny Bravo runs to her. So keep your eyes peeled on that. We saw Jacob Crist make his debut. With Cancel Culture. It's Jake Crist, just with Joey Ryan, RVD, and Katie Forbes. He's now Jacob Crist, though. And Jordan Grace defeated Taya Valkyrie to retain her title, and there was a lot of outside action with Johnny Bravo and Rosemary. So, end of the show, Michael Elgin was on the phone talking with someone from Canada who he referred to as Sir. He said that us Canadians have always been team players.
Ah, I know who it is.
Yes, Kevin?
It's got to be Eric Young.
Ah, I like that.
Don't fire Eric.
So I thought Impact put on another really great show. If you don't have Twitch or what are they on, Axis?
Axis.
Yeah, Impact Plus is like $8 a month. It's worth it. I get to it when I can. I've watched the last 2 weeks, though, and I'm really enjoying it. Where they're going with Slammiversary, to Kevin's guess, like, they're going to bring back a bunch of these guys that just got released. So it should be super, super interesting and a lot of fun. The Rascals against the North is going to be a great match. As much as Tony loves Tessa Blanchard, I think that that 5-way match is going to be dynamite.
Yay.
Yay.
Wolf, you hit it.
We did a Dynamite show Wednesday night, but of course, I'm sure you guys watched Dynamite, so you want to talk a little bit about that. How'd you feel about the FTR debut?
Is it me, or are they still trying to get the wrestling legs back under them?
I thought it was a really great match. I thought they looked great. Of course, there could be the ring rust there, but I didn't really notice it.
Okay. And now my second question to you is, are they going to finish each week with a Cody television title match?
Each week? I don't know. I know he will defend it every week, though.
weren't the last 2 weeks, wasn't his match the closer, main event, yes. Weren't there like little like feel good moments at the end where like people come in and like check on people and shake hands and this and that?
The first week was Jungle Boy, yes. This week there was the stuff with Hager and Private Party, Hardy and all that stuff. But I think if he's going to defend it every week and you want to give that TNT championship a feeling of importance, then it'll probably be your last match every night.
Okay.
And I know he's going to defend it this week. It hasn't been announced against two, so it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
That's risky, man. Just guaranteeing that that same guy, like in Cody, like your marquee guy, is going to be on, is going to be wrestling every single week. That doesn't always happen.
No. Well, I mean, it's, if you're going to make the title, he said he's going to defend it from go. And a lot of the people that I do the other show with feel like they're planting the seeds for Cody to slowly start to turn heel with every win that he gets under his belt, feeling cockier and cockier as to the point where maybe he doesn't, you know, maybe it's ridiculous that he lost his world title shot. I also think it's a great opportunity for him to showcase the talent Jungle Boy. Mark Quinn looked fucking awesome.
Mark Quinn is awesome.
And if you're going to do the whole, like, question mark gimmick next week, like, who are we going to have? Like, man, who's not to say they're fucking... Look, we'll get into New Japan talk, but they ran a show at the LA Dojo the other night. Tom Lawler was there. He made his fucking New Japan debut. They don't know when it's taped for or what it's taped for. Jeff Cobb was there. Rocky Romero was there. TJP. So who know? You know, who knows whose contract or what they've worked out? You know, Marty popped up on Being the Elite a couple weeks ago. Who's to say that there's not something in the works of Ring of Honor where they bring in like a Kenny King or somebody to challenge Cody? You know, who knows?
You're saying AEW Ring of Honor relationship?
I'm saying at this point, it's June 2020. A lot of these companies haven't ran a show for 3+ months. You know, maybe whatever barriers are there, you're going to break them down. There's obviously a relationship between Marty and company. Marty clearly has a larger role in Ring of Honor. And if we're going to start to see wrestling start up again, who's not to say that, you know, bringing in someone from Ring of Honor to wrestle Cody for the TNT championship, isn't completely out of the question, you know? Maybe it's a New Japan guy. There's Kenta lives in Florida. That's why he's not on any of these New Japan shows. Juice Robinson came home to be with his family. That's why he's not on any of these shows. Who knows? Chase Owens is still in Texas, I think. So the possibilities are really endless.
Listen, I hope so. The more exposure these guys get, especially if their own companies aren't running shows, and I did see the New Japan stuff in Cali. I was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. But then I noticed a lot of the guys on it, and I could be way off on this, other than Cobb, Rocky Romero, and maybe a lot of those guys weren't New Japan guys, right?
Well, it's a lot of the guys from the LA Dojo, Clark Connors, Carl Fredrickson, you know, Jeff Cobb has worked New Japan a bit, yeah. So a lot of these guys are familiar with New Japan, so... And who, I don't know what it was for. It wasn't for the show they did yesterday or this morning.
Like the Good Morning or whatever, the Wake Up or whatever it was called.
Yeah, the Together Project.
Yeah.
Tony, thoughts on AEW? Anything from last week, buddy? Since you went and got your Mugu Gaipan or whatever the fuck you're drinking over there?
I'm trying to...
Joey Janela had a nice little segment.
With Sonny Kiss.
That was funny. That was a funny segment. It was good and it was funny. He gets in the car, he's like, nice car. Good to see those guys. I hope they pair them.
If you guys covered it already, I mean, it's so...
Really?
Seems like it was so far away.
When's last week?
Yeah. So what happened? Maybe you could refresh me.
Well, we had Orange Cassidy.
Oh, yeah. He fucking stole a win, didn't he?
Yeah, they got the shit beat out of them.
Yo, I understand with the fucking sack of blood oranges.
Penelope Ford pinned the women's champion.
That's right, and she showed her clam when she pinned her.
That was
she did that over the top like thing, and they got it right on camera. I thought I was watching Glow in like 1986.
You're such a creep.
It wasn't me. It was the cameraman. Blame. What's his nuts? Beaverface, whatever his name is.
That also happened to be the match where Chris Statlander tore her ACL, right? ACL.
So that's two people that are down with fucking tears in their leg.
Yeah, that's right. Look, until we talk about it Wednesday night, I'll talk about it with you guys. It's, you know, do I think a lot of these women showing up on other programming is world beaters? No, but the Deonna Purrazzo's and the Tasha Steeles.
Trish Stratus.
And Trish Stratus, of course. Like, these women, like, Kimberly showing up in Impact, like, I think the weakest part of AEW is their women's division. So why are you not, why, you know, you've put all the stock in all these Japanese women. Rio is stuck in Japan.
Whoa!
Sheeta lives in the state, but then what do you got? You got Sheeta, Penelope Ford, Nyla Rose, Statlander, Hurt, Baker, Hurt, Big Swole, who was not around for any of the pandemic tapings. She just came back. And then a bunch of, like, young and up-and-coming women who really... Your women's division is four women right now. What are we going to see? What, these tag matches all until All Out or Fyter Fest or whenever? I don't think those women are necessarily going to save a women's division, but bringing in a Deonna Purrazzo or a Tasha Steeles will definitely help.
I mean, maybe it wasn't their call to make. Maybe Deonna wanted to go to Impact. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I'll take their word for it that they know a little bit better than me about who to bring in and who not to bring in and what to do. Maybe they have the reasons. Maybe the talent just isn't willing to do it. I honestly don't know the answer to that question, Matt. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's interesting. You see someone like Kylie Smiley leave and you know, and then it comes up that she had issues with Nyla Rose. So was, you know, are you speaking out of turn when you say that might be a factor? People don't want to come and wrestle in a women's division that has a transgender woman in it. You know, like
I wouldn't think that has anything to do with it, to be honest with you. Because I mean, there's intergender wrestling all over the place. So what difference does it make if it's a trans, a guy, a girl, or whatever?
So, well, that's the reason why Kylie Smiley left, apparently.
Some people just aren't into that, dude. Some people, like, if you're a woman wrestler, you want to wrestle women. You feel weird wrestling a dude.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying, like, some people think that way. Some people aren't, you know, 2020
I
doesn't.
I get it. 100% I get it.
2020 doesn't mean shit to them. Like, they're not evolved that far. Like, they can't just see it as, you know, we're just going to wrestle. It gets deeper than
so
that.
So, wait, was her problem wrestling guys, or was her problem wrestling Nyla? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because, like, if they said, hey, you're gonna wrestle Cody tonight, would she have a problem with it?
I don't know. Apparently her problem was with Nyla. Now,
being in the women's division, like, saying, like,
I can't speak out of turn because I don't have the story in front of me and I don't want to misquote, but
I don't know if it ever came out what the real deal was. It could have just been that they had beef.
I think that's more like what it could possibly be, right? Like, they just didn't get along regardless of what they were or who
I mean,
they were.
To the point where you are, I mean, no disrespect to Smiley Kylie. I didn't know who the fuck she was before she was on AEW. Don't make a fucking face like that, Tony.
Dare you?
I don't fucking give a shit about women's wrestling to begin with, to be perfectly honest with you. So why would I know who fucking Smiley Kylie is?
She's a proud member of TWAT. Don't you dare besmirch her good name.
Well, for her to say, I'm going to pass on this opportunity to be on a show on TNT and then show up on Impact, which is...
Dude, you can't say that because Abyss never signed with WWE and he had every opportunity to. Some people are just happy being where they are.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm just trying to connect
Johnny
the dots.
Johnny Gargano don't want to be WWE. Johnny Gargano, happy being NXT. I get it.
His check still says fucking WWE when he gets it, okay?
Fair enough, but you get my point. Some people are just happier where they are.
No, I get it. I'm just trying to connect the dots in my head.
Connect this fucking dot right here.
So Wednesday night on Dynamite, you'll see Cody defend the TNT title against Question Mark. Not the Question Mark, but Question Mark. Young Bucks take on the Super Bad Death Squad. LA Sex Gods take on the Best Friends, with the Best Friends putting their number one title match on the line.
Because, of course.
MJF takes on Billy.
Who are these teams?
Who are what teams?
The Death Machine is Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian.
The Super Bad Death Squad. Get it right, whatever, fuckface.
Fuck off.
And that's what they call themselves?
Yeah, they just started calling themselves the Super Bad Death Squad.
And the Sex Gods are Guevara and Jericho. You know what? Here's a bone I need to pick with you idiots, right? Not that you guys are idiots, but follow along. Jericho, they're still calling him Le Champion?
Yeah.
Really? Really? I would tell him to go fuck his hand. He's not the champion anymore.
Maybe that's the point, stupid, to get under your skin.
Yeah, well, none of the commentators should be calling him that, like proudly. They should be like, you know, the guy who still considers himself Le Champion. Like, they should fucking put a little dig into him.
Not when he's sitting next to me. He smacked the shit out of you.
No, he won't. You put your hands on an official, you get fucking fined, dude. That's how it goes. Don't you watch wrestling?
No one said commentators. Commentators aren't officials.
Yeah, they are. They're officially sponsored by the company.
You're an idiot.
I'm not an idiot. What, you think that every week they should go over there and just beat the shit out of Tony Schiavone? Come on, dude.
No, poor Tony Schiavone. No. Leave him alone.
You said that, Tony. We didn't say that.
He's not an official.
Yes, he is. He's a part of the broadcast team.
Nothing there says he's an official.
He's officially part of the broadcast team.
Well, I'm officially part of this broadcast team, so does that make me an official of podcasts?
No, yeah, it does, actually. Will that protect you from getting beat up by Chris Jericho? Absolutely.
I would welcome a beating from Chris Jericho.
Oh, isolate that.
I still owe him a beating.
Wait, who Matt or Jericho?
Probably both
Jericho.
Of us.
Not bad. You kidding me? I'm not trying that on my best day.
There's 11 matches set up for AEW Dark. Kevin, to your point before, Sonny Kiss and Joey are being paired as a tag team.
Love it.
So I think that's awesome.
What are they called? The Rump Shaker Jersey Boy Pizza Guys?
They don't have a fucking tag. Every tag team doesn't need a name, all right? Just.
Then why does every tag team have a name all of a sudden?
Because why not?
Well, you just said they shouldn't.
You can't give them a name that doesn't make any sense. What'd you call them?
The Rump Shaking Jersey Boy Pizza Guys.
That's too wordy, bro. Oh.
I just like the Rump Shaking Jersey Boys.
Just call them vicious and delicious. There, done. Next.
No!
Why?
Bagwell and Scott Norton.
Since there's been in the fucking years of wrestling.
Oh, like nobody's ever repeated a gimmick or a name or anything.
Why would you saddle Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss with a repeat gimmick, dude? Why don't you just fucking call them the two Blackjacks?
Can I give you one that just came
Please.
To the top of my head?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Can you guys tell me who the second coming of the Pitbulls were? Matt probably knows.
Oh, it was your fucking boys. It was Kendrick and London.
No, it was Jamie Noble and Kid Cash.
Wait, what?
That's right, baby.
Fuck them.
Velocity's own. They were always on Velocity. They came out with like the chains and everything. The Pitbulls.
Don't know why I know that either.
I thought you would, but I'm actually still surprised at the same time that you did.
It's such a sin to the Pitbull name. That's another Paul Heyman fucking brainchild, probably.
Let's see, well, I'm trying to think of other ones now.
All right, well, in the meantime, let's move on to what we're really here for tonight, all right? Fucking New Japan. What?
Can we thank the people that thank us every week before we get into New Japan?
And also, are we doing the new gimmick, by the way?
Yes, we are doing the new gimmick. Of course we're doing the new gimmick.
Come on, it's 8:40. Let's plug those who help us.
All right, relax, man. We want to take this
just
time.
Listen. It's like we need that come down before we get you all fucking amped up. Because I know once you get amped up.
I'm already amped up.
All right, well, you got to take it down a notch just for now.
I'm not going to take it down a notch. You want to know why? Because I'm going to thank those that support us over on our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast.
For as little as $1
a month, you can show your support to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Show Matt your penises at Bowman 5150.
Please, We know this is a tough time. If you can afford an extra dollar or two and you want to support the show, please head over to our patreon.com/wizardspodcast. We want to thank, of course, Matthew Birch, the true Prince of Pro, Benjamin Martinez, the ultimate horrier, David Henry Bauer III, his pal Antonio Hauserman makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Please check that out. Our friend Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scotch Drinkmore on the Twitter machine. Jay Cop, the big cop of pump from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Michael Hammond. Mr. Thomas Cops, the Mott Spock. Christine Friesendorf. She is one half of the Sign Girls with the Queen of the Shining Wizards, Miss Kathy Hummer. Mark Parloni. Happy belated birthday, Mark. We know you just celebrated one. And Mark was I want to say he's the first person to take advantage of the Pro Wrestling Tees code that you get with becoming a Patreon, because Mark brought a shirt this week. So thank you, Mark.
Which one did he buy?
He brought the 8-bit retro one.
Ah, nice. Vintage.
Matt Mellinger. Matt Garifo. No relationship to the K. G. G. Sean Toe. Brett Simonello. Sean Callejo. Anthony and Danny Rusinello, my brothers from the D Generation Y. What was that face for? You fucking dick.
AOP of the SWP day.
Ryan Arthur, better known as Ryan Van Dam. You can follow him over on elementary.com. It's the local brewery here in northern New Jersey, Hackensack to be precise. And as the bars start to open up, Ryan is extremely busy. And if you're looking for some local brew, check out elementary.com. Kate the Great Hensler over at ondeckic.com. Apparently she does podcast jingles and shit over there. So check her out. She's doing great stuff. And last but certainly not least, he's one of our DDPY warriors in the Discord, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
Ooh. I know what you mean, Kevin. I know what you mean.
Thank you for doing that, sir.
Of course. So check out our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. You got a couple extra bucks. You want to buy a t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards. And of course, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, @wizardspodcast. Give us a follow, chat us up. Again, the Discord, we'll put up a link with this episode. If you want to get in there and shoot the shit with a couple of fun, excellent people. Not just about wrestling either. So there's tons to talk about. As we wrapped up last week's show over in Japan, New Japan Pro Wrestling had a press conference, and they were very excited to announce that they were going to pick up and start over again after 110 days without any New Japan Pro Wrestling shows. They were starting this morning, Monday, June 15th at 6 a.m., and the New Japan Cup was going forward as scheduled with a couple changes. But this morning was New Japan Pro Wrestling, the Together Project. I cannot express how happy I am to see New Japan Pro Wrestling back. Yes, we are missing a couple of regulars, as I talked to Kevin before when Tony got up. Kenta and Juice came back to the States to be with their family. Kenta actually lives in Orlando, and Juice had family over here. I'm pretty sure Ospreay went back to England to be with Bia during this pandemic. Jay White, I think, went home to New Zealand. So they are missing a couple of their major players, but, you know, when one spot opens, you fill it in, and God damn,
that's right.
Is this New Japan Cup looking solid? There are, I want to say 15 replacements, which is a huge number.
15?
Oh, yeah.
How many people are in this fucking thing?
32.
God damn.
Let's see. Jeff Cobb is replaced. Hanari has been replaced. Chase Owens has been replaced. Colt Cabana and Bad Luck Fale are out. Jay White's out. Juice Robinson's out. Alex Coughlin out. David Finley out. Tangaloa out. Mikey Nichols out. Will Ospreay out. Carl Fredericks, Kenta, both out.
So, Matt, let me ask you this.
Yes,
I'm
going
to throw a name at you.
You.
And let me know if this is if he's been in New Japan or if this is like he if he's a replacement guy. Gabriel Kidd.
Gabriel Kidd is a British independent wrestler who was over there for the New Beginning show when they were touring at the end of February, and because of the pandemic, he ended up getting stuck there. So he is going to be part of the New Japan Cup. 23, young kid. I thought you were saying something, Tony. I'm sorry.
No.
That's got to be an homage to Tyson Kidd, maybe, huh? Gabriel Kidd, or is that his real name?
Your guess. I'm not very familiar with Gabriel Kidd. I'd be lying if I told you I knew a ton about him.
I'm gonna say that's a combo tribute. Don't know anything about him to Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd.
I mean,
is he a high flying kind of guy?
Anything's possible. He's a high flyer. Yeah, he falls into the Robbie Eagles El Fantasmo category.
That's where I'm going. I'm guessing that's how he got his name, or that's how he gave himself that name. I'm sure someone's going to prove me wrong, but that's what I'm guessing.
Very possible. Your New Japan Together project was awesome this morning. I watched it. It was about 2 hours and 15 minutes. It was essentially everybody that's in the tournament in a couple singles and tag team, six-man, eight-man matches. If you're going to watch the show, Naito, Hiromu, and Shingo against Okada and Roppongi 3K was fucking awesome.
Roppongi, bungi, bungi.
Awesome. Awesome six-man tag match. The Tanahashi, Ibushi, Makabe, Nagata match against Suzuki-Gun, also another excellent match. It really set up the matches going forward in the New Japan Cup. So here's your schedule for the New Japan Cup. On the left side of the bracket, this starts tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. our time, but it's like 5 o'clock in New Japan or in Japan.
Sean
Kalejo was explaining.
3 hours ahead.
Yeah, Sean Kalejo was explaining to me because he's in Australia. He can watch these in prime time at 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Versus our 12 at 6 a.m. So,
yeah, my buddy lives in Japan. He lives in so I think they're like 23 hours is the exact thingy. Unless I'm making that up. Quite possible. I think it's 23 hours.
That's a long time. Right? I don't know.
Yeah. Pretty sure it's 23 hours.
Wait, someone can Google that. It might be 12 hours?
Oh, wow. Then I was way off.
Maybe, I don't know. I don't have I don't know.
23 hours, yeah, that doesn't make sense.
It's a whole day. It's a long day. Anywho, this is what your left side of the bracket looks like. This is going to start tomorrow. Takobi Makabe takes on Yoda Tsuji.
Yoda, bitch, that owes me money.
With a T, not a D, Tony. Yota.
He's a young lion. Big Tom takes on El Desperado. Toriano takes on Jado. Jado, excuse me. I don't want to confuse those guys. Hanoma takes on Hiromu Takahashi. Those are your four first-round matches tomorrow. Wednesday morning, Okada takes on Gato. Nagata takes on Suzuki, which is, I mean, if you've been watching any New Japan Pro Wrestling the last 15 years, this is, you know what you're in for. That's going to be a fucking banger. That's an original first-round match, too. That's something they had scheduled for in February. And Okada was supposed to take on Jay White in the first round, but they just slid Gato in there. So that makes sense because Gato is with the Bullet Club and Jay White. Kanemura takes on Yuya Yamura. He's another young lion. I'm sure I butchered his name. And then Gabriel Kidd takes on Taji Ishimori.
Oh, there it is.
And then next Monday, right, the 22nd, next Sunday. Yeah.
Yes.
No, yeah, next Monday is where we pick off with Tony's boy, Tanahashi. Taking on Tai Chi. Kota Ibushi takes on Zack Sabre Jr., which is an awesome first-round matchup. Taguchi takes on Sonata, which is another very underrated first-round matchup. And then Sho takes on Shingo, which if you watched Best of the Super Juniors last year, night one, was a fucking awesome match. Awesome match. And then the last night, June 23rd, which will be next Tuesday morning, Tenzin takes on Yoshihashi. And I'll tell you what, Tenzin, older fella, this pandemic, he looked fucking awesome this morning. Awesome. He looked like he was quicker. He looked like he was leaner. Looked like it had gave him time to heal up, so that's good. Yo takes on Bushi. Tony's boy Kojima takes on Evil. And Hiroki Goto takes on Yujiro Takahashi and the Bullet Club. So those are your matchups for the New Japan Cup, and that starts Tuesday morning. Again, a lot of replacements. They're not doing English commentary. That'll come at a later date and time on New Japan World. But still, you can watch it with the Japanese commentary. You get the idea. You have this. You watch and see what goes on in the ring. Awesome to see Tanahashi. As much as I fucking hate the guy.
Tanahashi, go Ace.
Yeah, go Ace, go. What are the Ace Lovers? What are they called? The Golden Aces?
The Golden Lovers.
They fucking suck.
The Golden Aces suck, yeah.
It was great. Naito with the double belts. Awesome. Naito. Fucking awesome.
Fucking awesome.
The winner of the New Japan Cup will get a title match against Naito at Dominion, which takes place on July 12th.
Both belts?
Oh, yeah. Double belt.
Oh. I like it.
They also, I don't know if you've heard us mention before, Tony, me and Kevin were talking about it. They ran a show at the LA Dojo.
Did they run a yo at the LA Dojo as well?
Yeah. The Roppongi Bongi Bongi.
Bongi 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 Bongi. They're all proud members of TWAT.
So, we're going to make New Japan Cup picks after...
After?
After.
After what?
Kevin says no. Kevin's killing it. Oh, Kevin's going off the screen.
No, I'm not killing it. I'm just saying not yet.
Wait, oh, we're not ready. Not yet. You want to make make picks first?
Yeah, do picks first because I'm waiting for some background noise to dissipate.
All right. So I decided against Tony because Tony hates fucking picks. That we were gonna.
Are we doing the whole first round, by the way?
Yeah.
Yes. Hate this shit.
I meant tonight. We're doing the whole first round.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought we were only doing night one. Son of a gun.
Why would we do night one? We don't do a show tomorrow night.
Yeah. You know what Tony wants? More fucking days of pick.
I know it. Scrap it. Let's do the new gimmick first. Let's do it.
All right. We're gonna hold off on our New Japan Cup picks.
Let's just change gears.
We are. We're shifting gears here. And we're going to go over. We have a brand new gimmick. We've definitely taken this idea from the Michael Kay Show, which, if you're not listening to, you should listen to every day between 3 and 7 on 98.7 ESPN Radio or the YES Network. I'm convinced Kevin gets his tweets read at least once a week because I heard Michael Kay read another Shining Wizards Kevin tweet this week.
They wished me a happy birthday on Friday.
Oh, and they've read one of your tweets during the week, too.
Yeah, it was like an Adam Sandler joke or something.
Yeah,
material.
It was, yeah. They read my tweets a lot. They're dear good friends of mine.
My pot name drop.
Peter Rosenberg's a dear good friend. Don DeGreca's a dear good friend. And Michael Kay's a dear good friend. All right, so Matt, do you want to introduce the new seg?
So we decided we're going to do a top five list. And we kind of put the ball in Kevin's court. We have no idea what his top five list is. We're going to take a couple minutes to kind of try and figure it out. Once Kevin tells us what it is, me and Tony will go back and forth, see if we can figure this out very much like we would do with the MLW top tens. But I think it'll be a lot more fun because Kevin is in control with this. And this is Kevin's topic. So what do you got for us tonight, Kev?
All right. So I thought about doing a legit softball. But that would engage, what you guys actually know or what you guys would think I think. So I went a little deep in this. So my topic are the five best Survivor Series teams of all time. However, only in the four-man team era. So, Tony, really, Tony, you don't know any Survivor Series teams? Are you serious?
No, you can't be serious.
We should have did picks first, and don't call me Shirley.
All right.
So I should have gone with the song. I thought you guys would be all
right. No. But, hold on. Don't. First of all, don't pay attention to this fucking dipshit over here. Okay. Don't base everything off of.
How dare you? How dare you, dipshit? And then he goes, and we're only doing the four-man team.
Well, Tony, do you understand how many Survivor Series teams actually ended up with five-man teams? We're talking about, like, every team from 2019 to, like, going back to, like in the modern era and then again in from the 80s. It'd be impossible to guess. So the window is narrower on the four-man teams. So I feel like you guys would be better with this as opposed to the five-man teams. So my top five, and I'll give you my criteria afterwards, five best four-man Survivor Series teams of all time.
Okay. I would like to go first.
Sure.
I would like to guess on the Warriors.
Which team is that?
Animal Hawk.
Every team that Ultimate Warrior was on was the Warriors.
1990, Animal Hawk, the Texas Tornado, and the Ultimate Warrior.
Matthew. That is number one. On my top five Survivor Series teams of all time, you had the Ultimate Warrior, who was the World Wrestling Federation champion at the time. You had the Texas Tornado, who was the Intercontinental champion at the time. And you had the Legion of Doom, who had not yet won tag team gold. That could be wrong, but they weren't the tag team champions. But they were, without a doubt, the most popular tag team in WWE at the time. They defeated Mr. Perfect and Demolition. The sole survivor was the Ultimate Warrior, who would go on to team with Hulk Hogan and Tito Santana in the Ultimate Survival match. Matt, that is number one.
Yes.
I'm surprised. I thought you would guess that'd be that was a great first guess. Tony, do you care to chime in?
Yeah, the team with Hulk Hogan, Jake the Snake, and Demolition, whatever the fuck their name was, the Jolly Roger Jerk Me Offs.
If you're gonna like really not participate in this,
I just gave you my guess. What do you mean?
Yeah, but I don't want that snarky little remark afterwards. All right. Be involved.
All right, I'll start over, Kev. Let me start over.
All right, please do.
I'd like to induct, I believe they were called the Hulkamaniacs. It's a team,
right?
Hulk Hogan, Demolition, and Jake Roberts, the Jerk Me Off Squad.
Tony, that is team number two.
Ha-ha!
So you guys are going in order. Hulk Hogan, Jake the Snake Roberts, and Demolition in 1989, who defeated Zeus, Ted DiBiase, and the Powers of Pain. Demolition were the tag team champs at the time. It was right around No Holds Barred era. That is number two, Tony, on the all-time best four-man Survivor Series teams. Matt,
Some of these
are going to be tough, I feel like.
But I'm going to go back to 1990 because I feel like I have a little grasp on you, Kevin, in terms of what you enjoy. Would you put the Visionaries on the list?
This is ridiculous, man. They're team number four. And I'll tell you why. I wanted to put them a lot higher, only because they were the only team in Survivor Series history, I think, or at least in the four-man era, where all four members survived. So that is a team of Rick Martel, Power and Glory, and the Warlord, who had the clean sweep over Jake the Snake, the Rockers, and Superfly Jimmy Snuka. Wow, so three guesses, three hits.
Three for three. Incredible. We're on fire.
I think the next two are going to be tough.
Tony, you want to take a crack?
And again, we're going 89, 90, 91. No, I don't even count 92. Nothing from 92 is on there because there's only one match. So it's a limited scope, which is why I feel like you guys could probably get there.
You've got nothing from like the more modern era?
Well, there weren't modern eras. They had teams of five, not teams of four.
Sometimes they had teams of four, but that.
Oh, well, give me. Shoot a guess out.
No, because if you were so positive that they were all fives, there's no way that you would have picked one then.
I mean, a four would be maybe a two tag team team. I'll give you this. There's nothing on here later than. Nah, see, I don't even want to do that. I don't want to do that.
There's no.
If you think you got something? Shoot. Worst case scenario, it's a no. That you're allowed to get one wrong.
I don't know.
I'm surprised, Matt. The Visionaries one, very impressive.
I like the Visionaries.
Matt, you can jump in if Tony's taking a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. I don't fucking know.
All right, I'm gonna go really weird. I'm gonna go to 1995.
Oh my god! You're gonna right? get it.
That weird eight-man match where it was like the wild card rules, Ahmed Johnson, British Bulldog, Shawn Michaels, and Psycho Sid against Dean Douglas, Owen Hart, Razor Ramon, and Yokozuna?
Which team?
Ahmed Bulldog, Michaels, Sid.
Matt, that is number five.
Yeah!
On the list.
So we're just missing the number three team.
As much as I hated the concept of it, you can't disregard the talent in that match. Main eventers on both sides, other than maybe Dean Douglas. HBK, Ahmed Johnson, British Bulldog, and Psycho Sid. And I didn't realize British Bulldog was a survivor in that team. I thought it was just Ahmed and HBK, but Bulldog also a survivor in that match. So that is number five. You are missing number three, guys. And this, if you get all five in five guesses, that would be absolutely incredible.
Hey, Matt, what was the first team you said?
I said the Ultimate Warriors.
Which
Warriors.
Team was it?
Tornado, Warrior, and LOD.
Tony, I can go through the list for you.
Yeah, do that for me real quick.
All right, so the one you're missing is number three. So number five was Shawn Michaels, Ahmed, Sid, and the Bulldog. Number four was Rick Martel, Power and Glory, and the Warlord. Number two was the Hulkamaniacs, Hogan, Jake the Snake, and Demolition. And number one was Ultimate Warriors from 90, Ultimate Warriors, Texas Tornado, and Legion of Doom. You're missing number three.
I'm going to take a shot. I don't think this is it, but I have a feeling because you might be into these guys based on who's on the team. I'm going Luger, Undertaker, and the Steiners.
Tony, that is number three.
Get the fuck out of here.
On the list. And I'm not even into those guys. How did you...
I just
you guys, like screenshot you like accidentally flash the picture.
I don't know. It just stuck out.
That is number three. In 1993, Lex Luger, The Undertaker, and the Steiner Brothers over Yokozuna, Jacques of the Quebecers, Ludwig Borga, and Crush. Lex Luger, the sole survivor. Wow.
We went five for five.
That was incredible. I was not. Not only was I not expecting five for five, I was expecting like. Maybe like two for like eight.
Wow!
Because you want to hear? I want to hear some of my honorable mentions.
Ooh, can I guess one?
Yeah, because I didn't even get to use them.
All right, I'm thinking Jerry Lawler, Triple H, Dr. I Yankum, and Mabel.
No. See, I'm thinking Jake Roberts, Mark Marrow, Rocky Maivia, and who was that? Snuka was on that team.
Yeah, that was like the MSG one.
Snuka was on a different team, but
the
yeah,
the Rock's debut, just... the Stalker.
All right, so one of them's from 91, another one's from 90, and another one's from 93.
93? The Hart family?
No.
Did you go with the Dream Team?
From 90?
Yeah, Dusty.
No.
Shawn Michaels and his Knights?
No.
Doinks, the Doink and Pink.
No, that was 94 and no.
Did I say Chink? I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
93 Survivor Series.
Oh, is it the team with the Blues?
No, it wasn't the Far Infinite.
Was it the 1-2-3 Kid, Jannetty, Razor, and Randy Savage?
That was I thought about it one that I took out.
And then you said 90?
So what was the criteria for you putting these guys on this list?
Star power, who won and in the fashion that they won, which is why only one team that I thought about that actually had on the list but took off because they lost.
Did you put on the $1 million team in 90 because of Undertaker's debut?
No. I'll just tell you this one. I put on another Hogan team. I put on Hogan, Boss Man, Hacksaw, and Tugboat.
Toot toot!
And who was
Hacksaw, Boss Man, and Hogan are staples. Tugboat was just getting in there as the biggest Hulkamaniac. They won over Earthquake, Dino Bravo, Haku, and the Barbarian.
And who was your last?
That was 1991. Roddy Piper, Bret Hart, British Bulldog, and Virgil.
Fucking Virgil.
That's a fucking great team right there.
Dude, Virgil was over like Rover after that split with DiBiase. But they lost to Ric Flair, the Mountie, the Warlord, and Ted DiBiase. So that's why I bumped it. Wow.
Rightfully so. Five, boys. I liked it. That was a great topic, Kevin. I like your top five list.
That was stressful.
Stressful? Why is it stressful?
That was stressful because I was drawing a complete blank when he said Survivor Series teams. I was like, oh, I'm fucked.
But guys, I'm stunned. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm stunned that you got them all in five guesses. Got to make them harder now.
Yeah, you got a whole week now to put together another top five list.
Dude, I have a notebook of like 12 lists already.
Excellent, Smithers. All right.
Oh, baby.
Are we getting into these picks or what?
Yeah. Fucking do these picks. I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
I'm gonna go to. What are you, Kevin? It's only 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I gotta go to sleep, man.
Okay.
I gotta fucking text my boy Pete Rosenberg in the morning. What?
Matt, can I sidetrack and give you a trivia question that I talked to my dear good friend Kurt Hawkins about today?
Yes. Oh, please.
Can you name the only pay per view ever where every single wrestler in a match is represented by a Hasbro?
Oh,
boy.
I'm 100% positive that every single wrestler in the pay-per-view has a Hasbro. I'm like 99.9% that it's the only one.
Man, off the top of my head?
Ooh.
Is it the 92 SummerSlam?
You got the right year.
I was thinking WrestleMania 9?
No, Bob Backlund ruins that.
Oh, fuck. How close.
Survivor Series 92?
No Beverly Brothers.
WrestleMania 8?
WrestleMania 8.
There you go. Oh, we were close. We were very close.
You got Shawn Michaels, El Matador. You got Undertaker, Jake the Snake. Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels. Owen Hart, Skinner. The 8-man tag. Repo, Nasties, the Mountie versus Hacksaw, Virgil, Sergeant Slaughter, and Boss Man.
Yep.
Savage, Flair.
Ooh.
And then Hogan, Sid. Tatanka, Martel. And then even the match that was scheduled that got bumped, British Bulldog, Berserker.
But what about Papa Shango?
He has a Hasbro.
He has a Hasbro.
Even the non-wrestling guys who were in segments have Hasbros. LOD, Papa Shango, Mr. Perfect.
Did Elizabeth.
Nah, that doesn't count. That's if you want to go crazy.
Go crazy. Go.
I just said the guys that were wrestling. Then I extended it a little bit to non-segmented.
That's a good one, Kev.
That is good.
That's a real good one. Shit.
That's wild. Because you go to like every other pay-per-view in that era, there's always someone that doesn't have a Hasbro.
Yeah.
Whether it's Hercules, Haku, Power and Glory. It's also Hercules.
Dino Bravo. Wow.
Oh, you got the Natural Disasters Money Inc. at WrestleMania 8 too.
Did you get the variant of Dino Bravo? Comes with a pack of cigarettes and 17 shells.
There you go. All right, that's picks.
But a bump. All right. So this we will have to pick round two next week off the air because the second round won't be final until next week.
Oh, big baby Jesus, I can't wait.
All right, so we're going to start with the left bracket. We're going to start with Togi Makabe and Yoda
Togi, Tsuji. Togi, Togi, Togi. That was my Toga joke. All right.
All right. Makabe against Tsuji. Tsuji is a young lion. Makabe, this is his 13th entrant into the New Japan Cup, his second consecutive year. I'll start. I'm going to go with Mr. Makabe here.
I also am going Makabe.
We're all going Makabes.
All right. Everyone gets a Makabe. Next up, Big Tom Ishii, his 12th entry, his fifth consecutive, takes on the debuting New Japan Cup entrant, El Desperado.
Desperado.
I am going with my man. I'd be foolish not to. He's part of the publicly traded wrestling corporation by Kevin. I'm going Ishii, baby. With who's the number 3 or 4 pick? Go back and listen to that show.
Big Tom Ishii. I find it hard to see Desperado getting past Big Tom, so I'm also going Big Tom.
Really?
I am. I know a lot of people are kind of high on Desperado. I don't know, man.
Well, I'm going to buck the system. I'm going to go with El Desperado on this one. I think Big Tom's going to fucking eat his ass on this.
Yeah, I was kind of torn on this pick. I won't lie to you.
I am too. But you know what? I just get the feeling that it's El Desperado's time. He's desperate.
I see what you did there.
Yes.
Next up is the Jokesters match. Toriano, his 15th consecutive New Japan Cup against Jado, his first appearance in the New Japan Cup. Lots of hijinks here, but I am going to take Toriano to steal a victory.
Tony, you go.
I'm going Jado.
Jado.
Some of these fucking new guys have to win. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can't be all.
Yeah, but Jado's not a new guy. He's been around for fucking ever.
Yeah, isn't it? Is it Jado or Jado?
There's Jado and Gato. Jado, Jado, potato, yeah. Potato.
Yeah, so I thought Jado was like of Jado and Gato.
Yes, this
Jado
is
Jado and Gato. I'll go Jado.
There you go.
All right. And then our last match of day one is Hanoma. He does the headbutt against the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, Hiromu Takahashi.
I'll start this round. I'll go Takahashi.
I'll jump on Kevin with that one. Takahashi as well.
I am with you guys. I like Takahashi to get extremely far in this. They missed the boat on the anniversary show because of the pandemic. And I know Takahashi desperately wants to fight Naito. Why did I say it like that?
Because you've been mispronouncing things all night.
Oh,
sir.
I'm fucking so fired up about this, man. Naito. I almost did it again. So I Matt, liked. I
Tranquilo.
Triple head.
You know why Naito does the eye thing?
Because I can't say. We're not allowed to say that anymore.
Because Naito?
No, because when he was in Mexico, they would racistly do that to him and tell him to open his eyes.
That's right.
So he made that part of his gimmick?
Yep. And it would piss the fans off when he would do that in Mexico.
I do remember hearing that, actually, yeah.
Moving on to night two, Okada takes on Gato.
Night two.
Okada and Gato.
Can I start this one?
Yeah.
Okada.
Yeah.
There you
Okada.
Go.
I think that was a pretty easy pick across the board. My only slight hesitation is if Jay White is there and he costs Okada this match, but I'm still sticking with Okada. Next up is – this will be a banger, Tony, 100%.
Yes, I understand it's going to be a banger.
Yuji Nagata against Minoru Suzuki.
I will start, and I'll go Minoru Suzuki.
Stole my thunder, you son of a bitch. That's actually what I was thinking, too. But I'm going Suzuki as well.
I'm going with Suzuki, too. I believe he was eliminated early last year, and I think Suzuki-gun is in for a good run during this. And this sets up, if our predictions are right, Okada-Suzuki in the second round, which...
Well, there you go.
Hot dog. Young Lion Yuya Yumanura takes on Yoshinobu Kanemura. A little backstory, Kanemura is a He's had a couple titles in NOAH. He's probably the greatest ever GHC junior heavyweight champion. This other kid, Yuya Uemura, is a young lion. So I'm going to go Kanemura.
For me, you could flip a coin on this one. I have no idea. I'll go with Matt. I'm going with this one because of you. I'll go with your pick.
All right. Big T Donk.
Yeah, I'm going Kanemura. I don't know.
The young lions serve a purpose, my friend. Their purpose is to lose.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Our last match of night two, Gabriel Kidd, who Kevin talked about earlier, taking on Taji Ishimori. I'm going Bullet Club. I'm going Taji Ishimori here.
I don't think there's a question. I'm there, too. I'm assuming Kevin is as well.
Yeah, I am. Even though I really like this game, I got to see this Gabriel Kidd guy.
Yeah, but it's Ishimori. I think Ishimori.
I just want to see him.
Ishimori's part of TWAT, too, isn't he?
No, I took Ishimori and El Fantasmo. Fuck out of here, son.
Loser.
Day three. Here's where Tony's bracket gets fucking busted. Tanahashi takes on Taichi.
Really?
I'm taking Taichi, bitch.
Really?
Yeah, I'll give you a backstory before you make your pick, okay? Your boys Tanahashi and Ibushi won the tag titles from G.O.D. Zack Sabre Jr. and Taichi beat them down. So this is clearly they're on a collision course for the tag titles. All right, you're not going to have Tanahashi face Ibushi because they're the tag team champions. All right, Taichi, he won. He beat Naito at the G1. All right, Tanahashi's going to serve his purpose. He's the old dog. Let's elevate Taichi here. All right, so Tanahashi's going down.
You really think they wouldn't go Ibushi Tanahashi? Really think that?
Not to, because they're going to build this tag team storyline. I got you thinking. Don't you think about it?
Wait, who's Taichi's partner?
Zack Sabre Jr.
So you thinking it's going to be Ibushi and Taichi then?
Yeah, I do.
Even though Ibushi went an offer. At Wrestle Kingdom.
Even though Ibushi won an offer.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? Now you do have me thinking.
Thinking.
Kevin,
you said you're going Taichi as well?
I said Taichi, yeah.
Fuck. Damn it. That just sounds so good. Yeah, you know what? I fucking always bet with my heart when it comes to these two guys. I'm going to have to go against it this time. Give me Taichi and Ibushi as well. Fuck. Right, it really pisses me off that you talked me out of that.
That's your problem, not mine. So me and Tony think Ibushi's going to beat Zack Sabre Jr. also in that night. Kevin, where do you lie?
Zack Sabre Jr.
Whoa! Kevin going with the big upset. All right. Hey.
No idea why. No clue. No logic. Nothing.
Isn't Zack Sabre the one that got all jacked up on his quarantine?
No, it's Will Ospreay.
Oh, same difference.
Next up, we got Taguchi and Sonata.
Sonata.
I'm going to go Sonata, too. I think there's a lot of different options they could go here. Sonata definitely proved his worth against Okada at the G1, but he still can't capture the big one. You saw him lose to Zack Sabre Jr. at Wrestle Kingdom. For the British title. So this might be his coming out party. I don't know. I'm still torn on my finals, but that's not neither here nor there. Next up, I think night three is the strongest, too, out of all the nights. Sho against Shingo Takagi.
Sho.
Tony.
Tony's going Sho.
Sho. Rapungi bungi 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 bungi.
I'm going all LIJ in the next round. I want to see Shingo against Sonata, so I'm going Shingo.
No. Kev, who you got?
Shingo.
What? He's going to show you both that you're wrong.
And then our final night four, Tenzin against Yoshihashi. I fucking hate Yoshihashi, so I'm going with the veteran Tenzin.
I am also going with one of the original founders of NWO Japan, Hiroshi Tenzan.
Yoshihashi.
I just don't. I only took Yoshi. I only went against him because I don't like him.
I only went with Tenzan because of NWO Japan.
You know what? Fuck Jay White and fuck Hiroshi Yoshi.
Hey, watch your mouth.
Fuck Jay White.
Yo and Bushi.
He's not even good enough to be in this tournament.
Shut your mouth. Yo and Bushi both making their New Japan Cup debuts. They're both 1-1 in singles matches.
Do you have one? Like, I have the other guy from Roppongi Bongi 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 losing. Do I have to have this one winning?
Like, yes.
No, why would you have to have him winning?
I don't know. This feels like something that happens in wrestling.
Yeah,
but I will not. I'm going Bushi Bushi Bushi.
I am with you, Kevin. I'm going Bushi 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 too.
Well, since you said Bushi three times, you might as well make it all three of us.
Interesting. Taking show, but not yo.
Yo's got nothing to show.
All right. Yo. All right. next up, this should be another great match. Kojima against Evil.
Yeah.
Evil was on the receiving end. He could not successfully defeat Goto Tom Ishii. He couldn't beat Tom Ishii in February. So Evil's looking for a little bit of a bounce back. He does carry the NEVER Openweight Champion, the six-man tag titles. I'll take Evil for a little win here, a little win-ski, as Kevin would say.
That's right. I'm also going Evil.
Threevil Evil. And last, but certainly not least, Mr. March, Hirooki Goto takes on Yujiro Takahashi.
Goto! Marco!
Yeah, I'm going
with my gut on this one, just because my instinct, I have nothing to back it up, nothing at
Marco.
All. Takahashi.
Boo.
I have no idea, I have no clue what the deal is with them, but I'm going Takahashi. It was something within me that said Takahashi.
All right, picks are in.
Wait, yeah,
who'd
pick?
You take, Matt?
Goto, I'm sorry. I'm going with Mr. March, Mr. Goto.
Damn it.
Hirooki Goto. So this starts Tuesday morning, 6 a.m., and we'll have some results by next week, and I'll be able to talk about that, and I'll watch it on New Japan World, and then we'll pick the second round, and I got a bunch of picks sent to us from fans, so I have a spreadsheet for that, and we'll see how they do against us. It'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, but we have the advantage of they already picked everything, no?
Yes, they've already filled out their whole brackets.
Oh, so we'll have the advantage then, because then we'll be able to tailor our picks for the next round.
Well, we're not competing against them.
No, we're not competing against them. We have our own
thing. Yeah, this is a separate.
I understand, but you said we're going to see how we do against what they did, but.
Well, I have an idea. I have an idea of where my brackets are going, so.
Well, I have no idea, so you guys can have at it all you want. I'm just worried about this nonsense that I'm fucking stuck having to do. Not about to double down on picks that I have no fucking stake in. I don't even want steak in it. I don't even want a fucking hamburger or a hot dog or a plate of fucking baked beans in this one. I hate this shit. I fucking wish we would never do this shit again. You're fucking dragging me into New Japan nonsense, and I'm fucking tired of it. But you know what? I'm still going to fucking win, because no matter how much I hate this shit, I'm still so much better than you two fucking jackoffs. So there you go. How you like them apples?
I love them apples.
Promo, fucking call Tully Blanchard and tell him I'm fucking hot over these fucking picks. New Japan, my ass. Fucking old Japan. They don't even have any of the fucking new guys in it. This guy's been in it 17 times. Well, good for him. Hope he fucking loses again. There you go. Show and yo. How you like them apples?
Hey, Tony, you got some big apples.
Fucking big ones, Kev. Big fat blue ones, too.
Tell Cuomo you got some big apples for him.
Fuck him too.
We are the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, listening to us live on the rantrantemradio.com, watching us on the hot mic, and of course listening to us in podcast form, whether it be through shiningwizards.com, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you listen to the show. Leave a review, chat us up on Facebook and Twitter at Wizards Podcast. Follow us on the Instagram at Wizards Podcast. If you want to support the show monetarily, go to patreon.com/Wizards Podcast. And if you have a couple extra ducats and you want to buy a cool ECW style Shining Wizard shirt that Kevin is wearing right there, you can go over to Shining ProWrestlingTees.com /Shining Wizards. And if you join our Patreon, you get a 10% off code for Pro Wrestling Tees for our merch. So check that out. We'll be back next week with more wrestling talk, another full week of wrestling, some WWE to cover, I'm sure, NXT, MLW, New Japan Cup, nights 1 and 2 will be in the bag. So we could talk about that, and I'll give you guys my New Japan World login if you want to watch those at some point during the week. And we'll be back next week with another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
I can't believe you got the Visionaries so quick.
Another top five list from Kevin, too, next week. Definitely.
That's right.
That was a lot of fun.
Yay! That's it. We're
Bye,
done.
Bye, everybody.
See ya!
Later, Gators. All right, I think we're off the hot mic. Yeah, we're off.